Cracker just blew the lid off Peter Thiel's invitation-only dialogue society. Co-founded by the PayPal and Palantir billionaire back in 2006 with data broker Aaron Hoffman, this off-the-record retreat machine has been quietly packing rooms for nearly two decades with the exact people who write the rules sitting elbow to elbow with the tech and finance titans those rules are supposed to restrain. The 2026 Dublin gathering list names 222 registrants, NATO's top general, sitting Trump administration officials, U.S. senators from both parties, PayPal mafia heavyweights, intelligence figures, surveillance company founders, and Hollywood sycophants. The agenda offered panels on navigating World War III, battlefield technologies, bring back nuclear, build a cult, and even how's your sex life, complete with matchmaking. This isn't networking. This is the regulated and the regulators breaking bread and who knows what else in the dark.
It's a big club. And you ain't in it.
And I think it's important to keep in mind, too, that even going beyond Palantir, the internet itself was created by the military. And I think now we're coming kind of close to the end game in terms of full circle of them kind of realizing their initial dream for the internet. And then, you know, in the case of Palantir, you know, I argue in a lot of my research points to various efforts within the DARPA military sphere aimed at the internet being privatized. For example, LifeLog becoming Facebook, Total Information Awareness becoming Palantir. These have become reality. They've been messed. A lot of these big tech Silicon Valley companies, are just masquerading as we just started in our garage and we're regular guys. Like, no, these are guys that were created by military intelligence. And they privatize these programs, and we have willingly given them our data, and we continue to do so.
They're category-defining products. So when you deliver these products to the market, just honestly, people say, this isn't going to exist, this isn't right. valuable, but then it changes the market. And then the market is the Palantir market. Now, that doesn't mean everyone in the world's going to buy our product, but it means most of the sensible people in the world are going to define, buy from the category we defined.
Palantir supplies the citizen tracking data analytics backbone for intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, and law enforcement, while Dialogue hosts the very officials who greenlight those contracts. Now we see the practical application, an elite soiree that grades members by wealth and fame, tracks their relationships with algorithms, and promises absolute secrecy so nothing said ever reaches the public. Add in the earlier Epstein file mentions of Thiel's interest in secret society concepts, and the pattern crystallizes.
Yeah, transhumanism is this, you know, the ideal was this radical transformation where your human natural body gets transformed into an immortal body.
That is striking on the sort of transhumanist versus Christian thing is how similar they are. And so I think you can sort of point to metaphysical differences, but the thing that sort of is always striking is you're going to have a transformed body, there's going to be this radical transformation of the way everything works. There will be no more random freak accidents that happen to kill you, and so I think it's actually the similarities that are striking, and then one shouldn't try to overlay some metaphysical difference.
I met Epstein a few times as well, and this was 2014. It was post-arrest. You know, you assume he didn't go to jail for that long.
Right.
It was probably not as serious as alleged. There was certainly the illusion that there were all these other people that I trusted. You know, Reed, who introduced us, was, you know, he started LinkedIn. He was, you know, maybe too focused on business networking, but
right.
But I thought he always had good judgment in people.
Simply put, Peter Thiel's Dialogue is the deep state Epstein class made into flesh, unelected, unaccountable, and increasingly comfortable discussing World War III and cult building while the rest of us argue over their latest distraction. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigly has launched an online pharmacy
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Coming to you live this Thursday, the 27th of August, 2026. We, of course, have a lot of news to get into today. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls in the next hour. We have an update to the flash floods in Nepal and China from yesterday. Over 300 people missing, 72 people killed, and they're worried another one may be hitting sometime soon. It made me think it's probably time, it's probably worth it to go back and check out That old document, the lockstep document from the Rockefeller Foundation, which seemed to, with very disturbing accuracy, predict the COVID outbreak really perfectly down to the type of virus and where it would come from. And yet it was written, 10 years before. But in that document, you've got a couple options, sort of plan A, plan B, and plan C. Plan A, they called better together. And that was essentially if the people of the world went along with their own destruction, willfully submitted themselves to the takeover. But we didn't do that. So then they went with plan B, lockstep, forcing humanity into lockstep, into marching orders. But then there was plan C, which was hack attack. Which is kind of like if the people of the world don't willingly come along with Klaus Schwab, then you force them. If you can't force them, then you sort of decentralize is essentially the plan. And of course, it's not a coincidence whatsoever. If you're watching Alex's show today, clips of Klaus Schwab talking about the looming hack attack. And of course, Iran being blamed for attacks against the infrastructure. Trump now supposedly taking measures to deal with that, including, declaring a national emergency to ban some foreign grid equipment. So I wonder, we can just do a live here. The crew's got the PDF there. Let's see what hack attack has to say. Maybe you can just print it out for me. Cause I do think it's time to revisit it. We've revisited it a few times since the COVID operation failed to achieve all of its objectives. But especially now with all of the talk of the hack attacks, the energy grid going down, the threat of a cyber pandemic, as Klaus Schwab puts it, maybe now is the time to revisit it once again. Trump declares national emergency to ban some foreign grid equipment. President Trump declared a national emergency via executive order to restrict certain foreign-made equipment from being used in the U.S. electric grid due to national security risks. Under the order, it will be up to Energy Secretary Chris Wright, in coordination with other officials, to determine whether a piece of equipment poses an issue. The order could impact a wide range of equipment, including substations, transformers, batteries used for energy storage, generators, turbines, software, and more. It does not lay out specific threats or single out any country by name. However, China is a major manufacturer of a lot of grid equipment, especially solar power and batteries. According to the International Energy Agency, China has 80% of the world's lithium-ion battery supply chain production capacity and 85% of its solar production capacity. The Trump administration has called for outpacing China technologically, including on issues such as AI. Separately, it has called for broader build-out of U.S. energy production, though it has taken a hostile stance towards renewable energy. Under the last Trump administration, the president put a similar order in place. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. I think we got the wrong videos. I think I got the videos from yesterday, guys. Because I got to get the videos from today. Because I got, we do have some good videos from yesterday. You want to go to some videos we didn't get to play yesterday? This is actually a great idea. Let's go to clip number three here. If clip number three is a U.S. congressman being asked America first or Israel first, because I love whoever it is that does this. This is posted by GBC_press. And I don't know if it's multiple people that do this or if it's just this one guy, and I see his videos sort of posted all over the place, but he just wanders around the U.S. Capitol asking people Israel first or America first. And the responses he gets are very telling. They're very telling. So let's go to clip number three here. Here he is asking a U.S. congressman, America first or Israel first? And he gets very interesting response. Let's watch.
Sir, can we ask you America first or Israel first?
Israel first.
Israel first?
Yes.
Before America?
No, of course not.
You fat penguin? That's what you have to say?
Balls, you're going to get in a lot of trouble.
You're a fat, disgusting penguin, sir.
Oh, no, you're a loser.
You're a fat, disgusting penguin.
Loser. You're the biggest
you're fat,
loser that ever
penguin.
Existed. All you guys are losers.
You're a fat, disgusting
you're losers
penguin.
That hate America and hate Jews.
You're a fat, disgusting
hate
penguin, sir.
Hate America.
You're a
How
fat,
do you feel about Palestine again? Can you let us know?
I am Syrian. I'm not
you're nobody gives a shit, right?
You said nobody gives a shit, right?
What? Pal. I'm leaving. You don't have the right to harass people in these halls.
We're just asking you a question, sir. You cursed at us, bro.
I did not curse
you. You said nobody gives a We didn't curse at you. We treated you respectfully, fat boy.
I didn't curse
you said
you
nobody
guys.
Gives a didn't say that. We have it on camera. Are you going to lie
no,
now?
No, you didn't.
You're a lying sack of crap, sir.
You're a loser.
You're a fat penguin-looking PDF, sir. You're a PDF, brother. PDF file.
So, I don't know how hard it is to just say America first. Like, even if you don't mean it, wouldn't you just say it? This is the shocking thing to me. The dude has asked the question, America first or Israel first. His answer is Israel first. And then the follow-up question is, Israel before America? He's like, no, of course not. Yeah, I think that initial reaction was the real reaction. I think when he was asked sort of in an unsuspecting way, somebody just came up and put the question to him really quick. No chance to think about it. And he just spits out, yeah, Israel first. Who do I like more, Israel or America? Israel. Oh, more than America? Well, no, not me. No, never. You're not allowed to harass people in these hallways. Every video I've seen is like this, except for like Thomas Massey. Like a few of them. They immediately answer America first. But I think even the ones who, like, would answer America first are scared to. I think they're scared. I think United States congressmen are scared to say that they have an alliance and allegiance to America over and above another country. That's, you know, just where we're at this point. These are the types of videos I don't even get to on a daily basis. Just that type of stuff constantly. So, by the way, it was totally my fault. I totally gave the crew the totally wrong video list. So they're working feverishly behind the scenes to get the actual videos because, you know, we got to have the videos. I got to get the video of Donald Trump declaring Lake Ontario now being named Lake America. I mean, we want to see visual evidence of our victories, don't we? That's one of the videos we'll show you in just a second. You tired of winning, folks? Are you tired of winning? Because he just renamed a lake. So I think we're all getting exactly what we wanted, exactly what we voted for. I'm being sarcastic, I hope you can tell. I really do. So let's take a look at Hack Attack. let's just revisit this, shall we? So, you know, in case you don't know, Lockstep document, Rockefeller Foundation. Let's see, here's the, here's what Lockstep had to say. And unless I'm wrong, I believe this was written in 2010. Maybe even been written earlier. I think maybe it was written in 2005, and it was supposed to predict the next 15 years or so, more or less. And so it has its scenario planning. So one of the ways that the elites coordinate and collaborate and align themselves to the same trajectory is that they have these little scenario planning sessions. And so the biggest institutions or corporations or government programs will send representatives to go be taught sort of what to expect in the future and how to react to it. And so they have these scenarios that they lay out. They lay out four in this document: Lockstep, Clever Together, Hack Attack, and Smart Scramble. And so then they list out sort of a narrative of what this scenario might look like. Again, they're predicting from the past into the future. So, you know, it says things like, in 2012, the pandemic the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain, originating from wild geese, was extremely virulent and deadly. So this is not, obviously it's not talking about COVID because it says 2012. But clearly in the scenario it lays out, it is exactly what COVID was. And it explains how, you know, the overriding concern was the damage that a outbreak would do to the reputation of the medical industry, and how if the medical industry wasn't trusted, then people wouldn't accept the vaccines that they're put. So they had it all planned out. And again, if you watch Event 201, still on YouTube, you can find the highlights of Event 201. They're not talking about how to deal with the virus. The whole thing was about a virus outbreak, another scenario planning episode, just like this Rockefeller Foundation book. And I should find the old coverage because I don't even remember at this point. But the person that wrote this, Peter Schwartz, it's like you go down his path and like you basically just immediately get to like everybody who wrote the Project for New American Century document. You get, I mean, it just, this is the American super elite, the deep state, the corporate government. I mean, these are their planning documents and this is how they do things. So Event 201 was kind of another version of this, but it was, you know, on the cusp of the actual event. But just like this one, it wasn't really about how do we identify an outbreak in order to cordon off an area so we can mitigate the consequences? How do we activate resources from around the world to, you know, hyper-focus on emerging threats? It's not about that. It was about how do we manipulate the media so that people will accept the vaccine? It's literally what they're planning the entire time. Event 201, Lockstep, that's what they're concerned about because that's the purpose of these operations. But in Lockstep, it predicted a pandemic like the world had never known. It originated from wild geese, not bats. They got that a little wrong. They say it was extremely virulent and deadly. Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, the majority of them young, healthy adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies. International mobility of people and goods screeched to a halt, debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains, even locally. Normally bustling shops and office buildings sat empty for months, devoid of both employees and customers. The pandemic blanketed the planet, although disproportionate numbers died in Africa, Southeast Asia, and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire, even in the absence of official containment protocols. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency, accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the U.S., but across borders. However, a few countries did fare better, China in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition of enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near-hermetic sealing of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus far earlier than in other countries and enabling a swifter post-pandemic recovery. So again, the people that actually put these policies into place, this is their instruction manual. This is how they're being taught how to react. This, as well as other planning scenarios, as well as Event 201, as well as just their continual indoctrination into these programs for their entire lives as they go through certain programs in college and then graduate school, you know, they get sent to these programs to become the next world leaders. and they're trained on how to interpret this stuff and then how to put it into practice. So when you see these scenario planners talking about how much better China's program of locking everyone down and enforcing, you know, universal lockdown measures, how much more successful that was in our scenario planning exercise. So now, you know, when this exact thing happens, you'll hear these, you'll hear little reminders. You'll go, oh, I think I've heard this one before. I think I know what to do. So what does hack attack say? Hack attack, and just to remind you, clever together, and again, you know, I know I'm repeating myself here, but if you're a new listener, if you haven't heard this in a while, there's a reason that this is one of the most talked about documents in the last 10 years. Because it is it's the Rosetta Stone for the globalists. This is how you translate their language so that we can understand their plans. And so you can see actually these four scenarios they put on a quadrant graph, and you have two axes, political and economic alignment and adaptive capacity. So clearly, and again, this helps you decode the brains of the globalist. Their ideal is strong political and economic alignment and high adaptive capacity. What that means in practice is totalitarianism and large-scale corporatocracy. Those are those two things. Political and economic alignment means that you've got everybody going the same direction, right? You don't have a lot of outliers. You don't have a lot of argument about how to implement things. Success comes from when a country or a power structure of some sort doesn't ask questions, doesn't think for itself, it's aligned. You want to be aligned with us, don't you? And then adaptive capacity, what they mean by that is the ability of an organization to deal with new circumstances. Now, to me, a small business can handle disruption a hell of a lot better than a big corporation. If I, as a small business owner, accidentally get delivered too much rubber duckies, I can put those on sale that afternoon and just make the change. Nobody has to approve it. How do you think that works when it comes to Walmart? How do you think that works when it comes to Target? You got about 300 layers of corporate bureaucracy making any decision. But when you look at something like COVID, it's a hell of a lot easier to force the Walmart corporation to enforce masks across all of its 10,000 stores than it would be to get 10,000 small business owners all to agree on the same measure. So that's what they mean by adaptive capacity. What they actually mean is how much of a pyramid structure is your society organized into? How many umbrella corporations control how many people? That way, you don't have to get approval. You don't have to argue your case. You don't have to go through a governmental process. You don't have to convince the people to do what you want to do. You have a corporate structure where the management can give instructions and everyone down the line does what they're told. Extremely convenient, extremely adaptive, according to the definition of the people putting this on. And this is like high level. This is the highest level understanding of why the globalists like certain things and over why they like other things. So hack attack. This is plan C, as it were. So this would be, again, in the quadrant. This is the worst of both worlds. This is low adaptive capacity and low political and economic alignment. They say hack attack is an economically unstable and shock-prone world in which governments weaken, criminals thrive, and dangerous innovations emerge. Devastating shocks like September 11th, the South Asian tsunami of 2004, and the 2010 Haiti earthquake had certainly primed the world for sudden disasters, but no one was prepared for a world in which large-scale catastrophes would occur with such breathtaking frequency. The years 2010 to 2020 were dubbed the doom decade for good reason. The 2012 Olympic bombing, which killed 13,000, was followed closely by an earthquake in Indonesia killing 40,000, a tsunami that almost wiped out Nicaragua, and the onset of the West China famine caused by once-in-a-millennium drought linked to climate change. Not surprisingly, obviously none of this stuff happened, and we can move the time frame up a little bit, right? We could say the years 2020 to 2030 were dubbed the doom decade. That certainly seems where we're going, and it would be something like the 2020 outbreak of the COVID virus, the shock of the Black Lives Matter riots, you can fill in the things that actually happened, but obviously didn't happen 2010 to 20. It's happening now. We're living through it. Not surprisingly, the open series of deadly asynchronous catastrophes, there were more, put enormous pressure on an already overstretched global economy that had entered the decade still in recession. Massive humanitarian relief efforts cost vast sums of money, but the primary resources from aid agencies to the developed world governments had run out of funds to offer, like USAID getting cut. Again, it's not necessarily even a bad thing, but it's just understand that all of these things are following a script written years ago. Most nation states could no longer afford their locked-in costs, let alone respond to increased citizen demand for more security, more health care coverage, more social programs and services, and more infrastructure repair. In 2014, when mudslides in Lima buried thousands, only minimal help trickled in, prompting the Economist headline, is the planet finally bankrupt? These dire circumstances forced tough trade-offs. In 2015, the U.S. reallocated a large share of its defense spending to domestic concerns, pulling out of Afghanistan, where the resurgent Taliban seized power once again. So I remember, you know, reading this quite a bit right around the time that this exact thing happened. I remember when Biden bungled the withdrawal and we returned to this document back then going, I think I get where we are now. I think I've found the you are here X on the map, and it's in the third paragraph of Hack Attack. In Europe, Asia, South America, and Africa, more and more nation states lost control of public finances, along with the capacity to help their citizens and retain stability and order. Resource scarcity and trade disputes, together with severe economic and climate stresses, pushed many alliances and partnerships to the breaking point. They also sparked proxy wars and low-level conflict in resource-rich parts of the developing world. Nations raised trade barriers in order to protect their domestic sector against imports and, in the face of global food and resource shortages, to reduce exports of agricultural products and other commodities. By 2016, so we can just change that to 2026, the global coordination and interconnectedness that had marked post-Berlin Wall world was tenuous at best. So, of course, we have Trump instituting tariffs. And we have the Iran war causing massive shortages. Stories about that today where they're warning all of this. You know, now 6 months into the war, they're sounding the alarm that, hey, we should have been telling you 6 months ago about the nitrogen in the soil and how we need it to survive. Now they're talking about it. So, again, is it an accident? You know, why have I been saying the whole time that I didn't think that the shutting of the Strait of Hormuz was an unexpected negative consequence of the Iran war? I think it's all part of a plan, actually. I think they're actually doing this on purpose. With government power weakened, order rapidly disintegrating, and safety nets evaporating, violence and crime grew more rampant. Countries with ethnic, religious, or class divisions saw especially sharp spikes in hostility. Naxalite separatists dramatically expanded their guerrilla campaign in East India. Israel-Palestinian bloodshed escalated. Of course, I can predict things, too. I can also predict certain things, like the sun rising or the Israeli-Palestine bloodshed escalating. And across Africa, fights over resources erupted along ethnic or tribal lines. Meanwhile, overtaxed militaries and police forces could do little to stop growing communities of criminals and terrorists from gaining power. Technology-enabled gangs and networked criminal enterprises exploited both the weakness of states and desperation of individuals. With increasing ease, these global guerrillas moved illicit products through the underground channels to poorer producer countries, to markets in the developed world. Using retired 727s and other rogue aircraft, they crisscrossed the Atlantic from South America to Africa, transporting cocaine, weapons, and operatives. Drug and gun money became a common recurring tool for the desperately poor. So we'll pick this up on the other side, tell you what their prescription is for this crazy world that they somehow predicted down to the letter, pretty much. And then are also the ones implementing and causing to come about. So I don't think it's an accident. I think they're telling us we have failed to conquer the world from the seats of power, so now we're decentralizing and moving into a more nebulous phase.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We've been seeing a lot of headlines like this recently. This one's from today. The Fed, NASA, and DOJ are among victims of Chinese state-sponsored hacker group. According to court documents, hackers targeted networks operated by hospitals, telecommunication providers, power companies, financial institutions, and defense contractors, the filing said. The Federal Reserve, the U.S. Senate, the Department of Justice, NASA, and other federal agencies were victims of computer intrusions by Chinese state-sponsored hacking group, the DOJ said Wednesday morning as it announced the court-ordered seizure of internet domains used for the hacking platforms. The hacking platforms known as Qscan or QT Router were used to target U.S. critical infrastructure and other sensitive networks, the DOJ said in a statement. Other targeted networks include those operated by hospitals, telecommunications providers, power companies, financial institutions, and defense contractors, the court filing said. Other federal agencies that were victims of computer intrusion by the platforms were the Energy Department, Health and Human Services, and National Institute of Health, according to the DOJ. The Justice Department did not detail the damage to the agencies or other targets from the computer intrusion. The Chinese state-sponsored group known as QTFY created and operated the hacking platforms, according to court documents. They were employed by Nanjing Zhijuwei Network Technology Company, a Chinese-based company. According to filings, QTFY's paying customers include the People's Republic of China's Ministry of State Security and the People's Liberation Army, the DOJ said. The department said the seized internet domains were hard-coded into both QScan and QT router malware. The seizures made QTScan and QT router inoperable, according to the DOJ. Attorney General Todd Blanche, in a statement Wednesday, said state-sponsored malicious hackers preying on America's critical infrastructure will be stopped and prosecuted. We're here to ensure security for the American people, and we'll use every tool we have to keep that promise. The announcement of the seizure of the domains used for hacking comes after more than a month after John Harold Rogers, former senior advisor to the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, was sentenced to 38 months in prison for making false statements to federal investigators about sharing restricted information about monetary policy and Federal Open Market Committee with Chinese intelligence operatives. Roger was acquitted at trial of the more serious charge of conspiracy to commit economic espionage. But I think what's becoming clear is we're being beset by a number of problems. One of them is a lack of loyalty from our elite establishment. Half of them don't even pretend to like America. The other half seems to think that America is best served when they make money. It's sort of the way it seems to me. And this has become a very big talking point, thanks in no small part to people like Natalie Winters, who's been covering this quite a bit and explaining the way that Americans they see no problem with, like, going to China and teaching them our secrets. It's like crazy, but I guess this is sort of what you're supposed to think if you're a globalist. If the globalist mindset is that, you know, nations are not really that important, and yeah, sure, you're American and they're Chinese, but at the end of the day, aren't you all global citizens? So what's the problem? What's the problem with an American professor going over and teaching in China? Just like, what's the problem with the fact that the Pentagon? Some of these stories, like every one of these stories really would be worth, well, a revolution. At the end of the day, every one of these stories would be worth, like, rebelling and overthrowing the government over, really, if we get right down to it. But it would be at least worth, like, a major press scandal. Like, maybe this should be in the headlines for a little while. I don't even know anybody outside of us that really reported on it. The fact that the Pentagon audit found that there were Midwest universities in America teaching classes to entirely Chinese students in the Mandarin language about some of our most sophisticated and sensitive defense technologies. So, you know, it's like, are Chinese hackers really the biggest threat? Because I don't think they need to hack. I think if they were just to ask nicely, Americans would just give it to them. And again, I don't know, you know, I guess this is just sort of the globalist mindset manifest. I've talked about it before. There was a community college in Ohio that had classes. It was next to an Air Force base. And so there were a bunch of Air Force people in the community college. The community college decided to have classes on the base. And all of the sudden, this tiny community college in Ohio got a bunch of applications from Chinese exchange students. They didn't think that was suspicious at all. Like, this is the type of thing. You don't think that's suspicious. You don't just immediately go, no, we're not letting a bunch of Chinese. Why do a bunch of Chinese students want to come to Central Ohio Community College? That doesn't make any sense, actually. That alone should make you a little bit. No, I'm not, you know, not trying to knock Ohio community colleges. I'm sure you get a fine education there. Just from China? Just you're coming from China to go to a community college? Do I get your associate's degree? What are you getting credits before you move to a state school? Like, what are you talking about? So they don't think that's strange. They don't think that's odd. They accept them. Now, as part of that, that means if you go to this community college, you now have a free pass to get on an Air Force base. And so routinely, they would find Chinese students wandering around the Air Force base, taking pictures of the planes, taking pictures of the runway, and they would be caught and they would just act stupid and the Americans would believe them. I heard this personally from somebody who knew what was happening firsthand. I don't think anybody's reported on this. But these are the types of things that are just happening in the background. That China, and again, China must feel like it's like shooting fish in a barrel, right? Like, imagine if we weren't America. Imagine if America was more like a normal country that considered its own people and their well-being and actually worked for them. You know, if it was kind of more like China in that regard. And imagine your enemy, imagine China was just like, yeah, we have open borders and we're not even checking passports. Basically, if you can show up here, we will give you an apartment and healthcare. And we won't ask questions and you get a credit card. And then you can just disappear forever and we'll never come looking for you. Again, the Chinese must just be like, all right, well, we'll just send 100,000 agents in then. I imagine China, like, their number one feeling in the Chinese military is like, this has got to be a trap, right? It's too easy. Why is America making this so easy for it? Like, they're probably suspicious a lot of, like, they can't be this dumb, can they? You're telling me they have a community college giving classes on an Air Force base and they see nothing wrong with all of the sudden 100 Chinese students showing up there? You're telling me our agents were caught on the tarmac with a video camera by the dean of the school and all they did was escort them back to class? You're telling me they believed that he was lost? Is this a trick? Are we being trapped here? Let's pull back. Like, I wonder if the reason China hasn't taken over America yet is like, it seems too easy. There's a classic story from the Art of War, classic Chinese stratagem, where this giant army was going to raid a city and there was a much smaller and weaker army inside, but the smaller, weaker army inside had a genius for a leader. So instead of closing the gate and trying to defend the walls in a hopelessly overmatched contest, he flung open the city gates and actually sat on top of the walls himself playing his lute while the enemy army approached. And so the enemy army, seeing a wide open target with the gate open and no defense posted, they backed off. They went, oh, okay, hold on. This is too much. Right? Sort of a double trick, right? You're weak, so you appear strong, and that forces them back. Like, I wonder if China's projecting that onto America. I wonder if that's why they haven't just straight up taken us over yet. Like, they could kind of at any point. But then they see that we're just sitting there with the gate wide open, like, yeah, you want to come in? Come on in. And they're like, whoa, hold on, back up. This must be a trick. Nope, no trick. Nope, we're just that dumb. No, we actually are just that stupid. No trick here. We literally just opened up our border. That was not a trick. That was not a trap. You'd think, you know, if our leadership were intelligent, maybe it would be. Maybe we would do stuff like that, but we don't. We don't do that. No, we just let you in. So again, just, I know this from, like I said, personal experience. Same type of thing. I've been talking about this the entire time I've been at InfoWars, because I had a friend that went to U of H and would tell me and would go, dude, I'm in these very high level, like, you know, laser measurement courses, like I don't even know the technology, like LIDAR technology, you know, stuff that, okay, you can use it to like look for resources. You can also use it to scan defenses for weak spots militarily, right? This is military technology. And he's like, I'm going to U of H and every single person in my class is a straight up Chinese student. My professor is a straight up Chinese person. This has been going on for a long time. Yeah, the empty fort strategy. That's why I wonder if China like thinks we're doing the empty fort strategy. Nope. The fort actually empty. I mean, they're going to figure it out eventually. Crew's like, don't tell them. Look, they're going to figure it out eventually. I mean, I think they probably have. This is what I mean. It must be so easy for them. Earlier this week, there was the same type of thing. It was just this like little old white lady that spent her whole career teaching high level technology in American universities and just went to China and started teaching them in her retirement. And it's like, you're not supposed to do that. What? What? You're not supposed to just go to our enemy and just start teaching them. A good man without strength is only hoping evil has mercy. Yeah. So, I mean, really, it must just be like the most fun thing ever to be Chinese. And just be like, let's hack them. Let's send our guys over there. Let's send our students over there. Let's have their government pay the way. Like, can we apply for grants? We have people in the government, right? We do. Okay. Have them approve the grants to fund the program we're doing to steal all of their technology. Are they this stupid? Are Americans really this stupid? Meanwhile, you got some Air Force colonel, you know, rolling up on his golf cart to some Chinese kid with a video camera filming the takeoff of the B-2s and going, "Are you lost, son?" And I'm like, "Yeah, class, where's class? I'm lost. Oh, I'm so lost." "You come with me. Hop on in. Get in the seat. I'll take you back." "How'd you end up out here? You got really lost, son." That's crazy. That's crazy. Anyway, have a good day. Yeah, not a trick. No. Just, yeah, that's happening on a daily basis. So, just so we're aware of where we're at. So you've got the Fed, NASA, DOJ, hacked by China, which, like, thank you? Should we say thank you? They're my enemies too. So I don't really know how to feel at this point. Can you tell us what you found? We're interested. What's the Fed up to, I wonder? Iran-linked cyber attack shut down a UK power plant. That was 2 days ago. No risk of wider energy system, government tells the regs. That was in the UK. This is why we're reading Hack Attack. This is why we're taking a look at the scenario planning prediction document from the Rockefeller Foundation. That again seems to presage and predict exactly what has happened. Down to the, you know, everything. Just everything. Down to the reestablishment of feudalism, essentially. And of course, the Hack Attack is where you get this, this great quote that really tells you everything you need to know about who these people are. Because this is the quote in the scenario narrative's Hack Attack, quote, "We have this love affair with strong central states." Oh, do we? Do we have this love affair? But that's not the only possibility. Technology is going to make it even more real for Africa. There is the same cell phone penetration rate in Somalia as in Rwanda. In that respect, Somalia works. But we have this love affair with strong central states. So this is, you know, a signal to the power elite, like, it's okay. It's okay. We don't require centralized power to complete our plans. In the event of our failure to fully capture the American political system, here's how we decentralize and carry out our operation through philanthropy. Remember, this is one of these code words that we should always be on the lookout for. Philanthropy. I've noticed they kind of stopped doing it as much. Maybe it was COVID or something, but, you know, it was mostly around the time, because, like, it used to be, before everybody was aware, before everybody caught on to what we've been saying the entire time, it was like every week you'd have Bill Gates in his gay pink sweater out there talking about the philanthropy that he's doing. And like COVID happened, everybody realized what a despicable scumbag he was. The sweaters stopped working, and now they don't really talk about it as much anymore. They don't brag about it as much. But it used to be like every day we'd hear some story about, well, you know, being a philanthropist is just my pride and joy. And it's just like, you just took a bunch of, you made a bunch of money off of OnlyFans and then you gave it to the IDF, or you made a bunch of money off gambling websites and you used it to build a transgender wing on the hospital. I'm a philanthropist. I'm a member of the global government is what they're saying. So they say technology hackers were also hard at work. Internet scams and pyramid schemes plagued inboxes. Meanwhile, more sophisticated hackers attempted to take down corporations, government systems, and banks via phishing scams and internet database information heists. And their many successes generated billions of dollars in losses. Desperate to protect themselves and their intellectual property, a few multinationals still thriving instructed strong, increasingly complex defensive measures. Do you see what it's saying here? The corporations themselves, when they are failed to be protected by the governments, will establish their own complex defensive measures. Patent applications skyrocketed and patent thickets proliferated as companies fought to claim and control even the tiniest innovations. Security measures and screenings tightened. This Wild West environment had a profound impact on innovation. The threat of being hacked and the presence of so many thefts and fakes lowered the incentives to create me first rather than me too technologies. And so many patent thickets made the cross-pollination of ideas and research difficult at best. Blockbuster pharmaceuticals quickly became artifacts of the past, replaced by increased production of generics. Breakthrough innovations still happened in various industries, but they were more focused on technologies that could not be easily replicated or re-engineered. Verifying the authenticity of anything was increasingly difficult. The heroic efforts of several companies and NGOs to create recognized seals of safety and approval proved ineffective when even those seals were hacked. They talk about how all the hacking isn't necessarily bad. And so they get to the role of philanthropy in hack attack. Philanthropy is less about affecting change and about promoting stability and addressing basic survival needs. Philanthropic organizations move to support urgent humanitarian efforts at the grassroots level, doing guerrilla philanthropy by identifying the, quote, hackers and innovators who are catalysts of change in local settings, yet identifying pro-social entrepreneurs as a challenge because verification is difficult amid so much scamming and deception. The operational model in this world is a fortress model in which philanthropic organizations coalesce into a strong single unit to combat fraud and lack of trust. Philanthropy's biggest assets are their reputation, brand, and legal financial capacity to ward off threats and attempts at destabilization. They also pursue a less global approach, retreating to doing work in their home countries or a few countries that they know well and perceive as being safe. And so we're seeing this essentially implemented now. The fortress model, you'll see that invoked in headlines about the way technology and technology companies are changing. Technologies in hack attack, mounting obstacles to market access and knowledge creation, and creation and sharing slow the pace of technological invention. Creative repurposing of existing technologies for good and bad is widespread as counterfeiting and IP theft lowers incentive for original innovations. That is the big scandal with AI right now. In a world of trade disputes and resource scarcities, obviously the defining economic situation of our time. And only increasingly so. Much effort focuses on finding replacements for what is no longer available. Pervasive insecurity means that tools of aggression and protection, virtual as well as corporeal, are in high demand, as are technologies that will allow hedonistic escapes from the stresses of life. Technology trends and applications we might see echoing the rise of synthetic chemicals in the 19th century. Synthetic biology, often state-funded, will be used to grow resources and foodstuffs that have become scarce. Obviously, fake meat. You've got plant-based meats that sort of failed to get off the ground, but obviously they're trying. And remember, some of this stuff might not seem that interesting because it all came true. But this was written before any of this happened. This was written before anybody ever heard of an Impossible Burger. This stuff was written before, like, we were still 10 years out, at least, from getting out of Afghanistan. They seemed to nail that one right on the head. It's obviously decades before AI was even a topic of conversation the world over, yet somehow they could predict this sort of stuff. New threats like weaponized biological pathogens and destructive botnets dominate public attention, but enduring technologies like the AK-47 also remain a weapon of choice for global guerrillas. The internet is overrun with spam and security threats and becomes strongly associated with illicit activity, especially on dark webs where no government can monitor, identify, or restrict activities. Identity verification technologies became a staple of daily life. With some hitches, a database of retina recordings stolen by hackers in 2017 is used to create numerous false identities still at large in the mid-2020s. So again, the idea of identification technology being rolled out as a consequence of the lack of security, which occurred because the systems established have failed to serve the people that they're supposed to. So you have this. So again, whether it's the Hegelian dialectic of problem, reaction, solution, or whether it's just the plan A, plan B, plan C of the Rockefeller Foundation, all of these things seem to have been prescripted. Seem to have been prescribed, seem to be following a certain timeline established long before most people were aware that any of this stuff would be an issue, let alone the issue to be focusing on. And they even predict that with the cost of cosmetic surgery dropping, procedures like the lunchtime facelift became routine among emerging middle classes. And then they have sort of a talk about, you know, what it's like to live in this, but it's a guy going into Africa for some reason. But essentially, what it's saying is that in the event of this collapse of the global order that they're establishing, philanthropies move into a fortress model that includes NGOs. NGOs and private corporations start stepping in to fill the gap where governments are perceived to have failed. Now, remember, all the people telling you that this is the consequence, that this is the reaction to what's happened, they're the ones putting these things into place. For example, when it says in Hack Attack, they seem to know, like they're perfectly aware that in the event of, you know, erosion of global trust or erosion of global peace, that it would be the more diverse communities that would have the biggest problems. And actually, those areas like China that were still ethnically unified and not subject to, you know, various factions prevailing against each other, they would do well. So you would think if they knew that that was the case all the way back in whenever this was written, 2005, 2010, you know, my response would be, well, in the event that something like that were to occur, maybe we should start working now to limit the number of foreigners we have in our country, since we know inevitably, and really in the best of times, it causes friction and makes things harder. If things were to really go bad, this would be an existential problem. So maybe we can start now undoing that. They accelerate that. They know it's going to happen, and then they're the ones that do it. They're the ones that actually bring in the people that create the circumstance that causes the chaos, that they get to sweep in and say, don't worry, NGOs and corporations will take care of this for you. This is where we're going. And I think a lot of things can be tied up in this. And I, again, don't think it's a coincidence that the big networks and institutions, the International Criminal Court, NATO, the UN itself, these are all kind of being slowly but surely discredited so we can move out of them, but not in a way that people like me have been calling for, where we want the UN to go the hell away and leave us alone, but rather so we can join some more, you know, exclusive and corporatized board of peace, you know, Gaza oversight board type of operation where certain corporate masters simply rule forever, you know, have positions for which they are not elected and cannot be removed. So that's the way things are going. That's the strategy that the world elite are now using to deal with the world that they created, because we were not amenable to their plans and didn't choose to go along willingly with them. Now, and then they tried to force us and we wouldn't go along with that. So now their attempt is basically to create fortresses, wall off themselves, and let the rest of the world dissolve into chaos so they can regather, recoagulate their efforts and rebuild from the chaos they created. You got another plans. Now you can strategize against it. We'll be back with videos and more on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
I'm cutting this announcement on Tuesday, the 25th of August, 2026. This special, one of the biggest ever, only runs until this Sunday, the 30th at theAlexJonesStore.com. Every order, it's a $40 value. The highest quality Shilajit gummies, natural pineapple flavor, free with every order. You buy a $30 ball cap, $20 t-shirt, free bottle of Shilajit. Now, this is already in our top 10 sellers, but the folks at Big League want to do this for those of you that have never tried it. It's like people handing out cocaine or heroin to kids at the schoolyard to get them addicted. Except this isn't bad for you. This is good for you. Now, if you don't know what Shilajit is, it would take a long time to describe, but even scientists don't know. It's in the Himalayas and a few other mountains. The best comes from the Himalayas. When there's earthquakes and stuff, these ancient oil deposits, the diatoms and other little microorganisms have lived in, it gets exposed after millions of years of being underground. And I guess these microbes can live underground because they've got superpowers. And it transfers all of that to you. A whole bunch of natural peptides for stamina, energy, libido, focus, clarity. It's known to boost testosterone. There's a lot of Shilajit out there, but not all of it's made equal. This is a private label. We have the liquid, we have the pills, and we have the gummies. Now, I've already been gobbling this one for a while, so it's not full. But it's still a mass ton of these bad boys. You take a couple of these a day, you're going to feel it. Let it dissolve in your mouth for full absorption. They have an incredible flavor. Go to theolivestonestore.com. Get ultramethylene blue. Get a t-shirt. Get our Irish sea moss. Get any of the other great products. Our bovine colostrum is a private label, the best in the country. And then you get a free bottle of this. We only sell stuff that works. Only sell stuff that's good for you. Get your free bottle of Shilajit gummies with every order, whatever else you're ordering right now at theolivestonestore.com. Thanks for keeping us on the air. You only have until this Sunday. Thank you all for your support, and God bless you all.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Understand that your money supply, your government is paying interest to private banks for bills that should be free of interest to you. I mean monetary control. I mean cameras on the corner. I mean thumb scans at the post office and at the driver's license, which they're doing now. I mean the banks. I mean all this. Control your life. I mean bigger and bigger police forces with more and more totalitarian policies.
Go inside now! Get in the home!
So understand, folks, this is why you never hear about this in the mainstream press, because they're owned and controlled by these mass bank conglomerates that want nothing less but total slavery.
Now they love it. They can abuse and beat up everybody, and nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop them. They're having their way with America. They want our guns. And if you're not with them, cops and military, then you will declare that you're with the Republic now. And don't tell me that I'm a weirdo because I'm upset about this and I should only go get upset about my favorite football team winning or losing. Listen, I know what tyranny means. I know the bankers are putting poison in our food and water. I know the bankers have stolen $8.5 trillion. I know we're under War Powers Act. I know they're hurting us. I know they're carrying out New World Order. I know they staged those terror attacks. You know what it's like to gut up to this and go out every day and go past the peer pressure and come out day one and say 9/11 was an inside job and lose most of the radio stations I was on? You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day? You know what it's like knowing you've ruined my life? You know what it's like? You sons of bitches! I'm tired of your crap! You commit evil, you're part of an evil system, and we're standing up against you! And the Republic is going to defeat you in the end! Some of us won't make it personally through this, but a lot of us are! And in the end, you are going to be brought to justice for all the kids you kidnapped for CPS, all you CPS workers, all you corrupt bureaucrats, all of you that have had your way with innocent children over and over again, and who think your evil's invincible. You're not invincible, and God is going to deal with you! And you are cursed to hell!
We spotlighted the World Economic Forum. We spotlighted Bill Gates. We hit the barbed wire first. We were the shock troops, my guests, my crew, this audience of activists. And I won't sell out that legacy of integrity for anybody. You can put a gun to my head, and I won't go against what's right. I won't move one centimeter from what I believe to be the absolute truth.
So that's why it doesn't matter if they kill me. It doesn't matter, because my family has no future if we don't beat them. Sure, what, I'm going to live another 5-10 years, play ball with this, maybe 20? Play ball, you know, think I'm part of the elite, live in some high-rise all guarded when the bioweapon gets released? We'll all be dying up in that high-rise. I'll be on the phone going, I thought I was part of the team. You know, these idiot operatives trying to discredit us online go, Alex Jones admits he's had family in the government. The proof, it's secret. I'm the one saying it on air. I'm the one telling you idiots. And I'm not going to say more because I don't want to get people in my family in trouble. The point is, the New World Order's real, you fools. They run little kids. They run the snuff films. They run the drugs. They run it all. And because you act like a bunch of naive chumps, this whole thing's going to come down on us. And you better pray to God they don't get this through. Because if Cobra, the snake, the devil, the Black Pyramid gets control, it's all over for you. They call us biological androids. They see you as a flesh and blood robot. They think you're a dumb animal that cannot get above the program.
Just good luck, globalist.
I have been in a marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere.
to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. War Room Live, second hour is on. I'm going to open up the lines for your calls in the third hour. Comment on anything and everything that we're talking about here. Ceuta is basically devolving into civil war, and this may get very interesting. And one thing that we always like to say about the world elite, the powers that be, whatever, them, right? The enemy, the capital E. What was I just saying? They're human beings. One thing we like to say is that they're human beings. They may seem all powerful. They may be able to pull off some truly insane operations that seemingly can only be carried out with some sort of hypnotic power. Doesn't make any sense in the earthly realm. Why they convinced half this country that men and women are the same. Like, you know, some stuff like that. You're like, okay, are they magic? Because what the hell? What the hell? How do they trick half of America into rejecting what they see with their own eyes? It makes no sense. That's crazy. They must be superhuman or something. No. They're human beings and they have to contend with human will. And their plans don't always go as they expected. So I hope and I pray that what's happening in Ceuta right now really expands into something incredible. It's kind of hard to cover it in the way that I normally would because it's in the Spanish language and there's a lot of videos that we don't have translated. And it would take too long to translate all of them. But Tommy Robinson just posted a video of some Spaniards in Ceuta. Saying, quote, there's going to be a full-blown battle, dead bodies everywhere, because Ceuta doesn't surrender. Ceuta is going to fight on the front lines. We'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees. And to Pedro Sanchez, we say, thank you very much, you dog, traitor to the homeland. So, you know, what did they expect to happen and what happens here? Because supposedly, according to Visegrad 24 on X, this is clip number 5, apparently last night, the Spanish police did open fire on crowds in Ceuta, just not on the immigrants. No, they started firing rubber bullets into the crowds of Spaniards who gathered to protest the invasion of their homeland. So the police are not deployed to stop the onrush of 10,000 hostile African invaders just let out of Morocco jails. But when the Spanish gather to defend themselves, the police are deployed to put them down. So what happens here? What happens from here on out? They're shooting at Spaniards protesting against illegal immigration. They didn't fire rubber bullets at the 70,000 illegal immigrants when they stormed Ceuta in July, but they did apparently open fire with rubber bullets on protesters protesting the illegal migration. Let's go down to clip number 5 and we'll see what happens here. So what's actually happening is that the Spanish men are not waiting for the army to protect them, and they're going out to get rid of these immigrants themselves, which is their absolute right. As human beings, and again, I mean, do we literally need to just like read the Declaration of Independence, read the Constitution? If you institute a government amongst your people to handle first and foremost protecting you from outside forces, and they literally refuse to protect you and in fact attack you for trying to ask them to protect you, then they have lost legitimacy as your authority and they all deserve to be taken over. I mean, at a certain point, is Ceuta just going to declare independence from Spain? Because not only is their position as a Spanish protectorate, a Spanish enclave, not actually giving them anything, it's actually causing them the pain. So why would they not just say, you know what? We're not Spanish anymore. And all the people posted here and are from here in the military armed forces, like, here's your new commander. It's the mayor of Ceuta. You're no longer taking orders from the Spanish government because they clearly are not fit for purpose. Like, that's actually what needs to happen now. And I don't blame them. Why would you put up with this? Clip 21 here. This was posted by at Real Don Keith. A man on camera says, if parents leave a 15 or 16 year old girl alone, it's normal that she gets raped. The fault is the parents. They're blaming the family instead of the rapist. But this is the mindset. This is what we keep talking about. Yeah, again, it's in Spanish, so, you know, we don't have it translated. But these are the guys in Ceuta. Some of the immigrants saying exactly that. Which again, this is just how it works. This is what their belief tells them, is that if there's a girl walking around, if she's mature sexually, but is alone, then she's a whore. She's a sex object. So it's like, it doesn't even matter if it's enforced legally, it's enforced by their very presence because they will act on that. And they will actually attack your daughter or your sister. So it's not like they come along and say, we're now passing a law that all women must be accompanied by a man and be covered at all times. That just happens once they arrive, because if you don't do that, then you get raped. So yeah, it's not a surprise now that the men of Ceuta are gathering together and walking around trying to get rid of these immigrants. And it would be a hell of a lot easier if they had the guns necessary to do it. We should probably be running them guns, except of course not, because it's America and Israel that sponsored this entire invasion in the first place to punish Spain for not wanting to go along with their genocide. Let's go to clip 27 here. Around 30 to 40 migrants ambushed a Spanish army patrol in Benzu, Ceuta, around 5:30 a.m., surrounding its unarmored vehicle and pelting it with large stones. 4 soldiers were forced to flee on foot and were injured. Police later arrested 12 Moroccan nationals. So, clip 27, this is what's happening in Ceuta. And obviously, there's already been like dozens of rapes reported from the people in the immigrants in Ceuta. Clip 32 here. This is what footage of armed Ceuta locals hunting down invading barbarians tonight. It looks like an uprising has started. So clip 32 we can go to. And again, we just played as B-roll here. But this is reportedly what's happening, is that the men of Ceuta, and then you can see them like waving sticks. But you can tell they're not Muslims because they're all wearing like T-shirts, and there's a few women there that aren't covered. The men look, you know, Western. Like, they're not all wearing robes or the same clothes like they're in some sort of army, like the immigrants always are. And it's not just the Spanish government that they're mad at, which, again, it's like, how do you even justify your continued inclusion in the Spanish state when they are literally the ones doing this to you? I think it's time to declare independence. And if America is actually what we tell everybody it is, it was actually, you know, run by Christian Americans who actually wanted to maximize freedom around the world and help support those populations that are under unfair attack, well, there are a lot of things that we could be doing other than helping Israel territorially expand. But this would be something that, you know, they could really help. I mean, you can imagine an America run by human beings, and we'd be running guns to Ireland. We'd be using our diplomatic leverage to force the UK to start re-migration. We have so much influence, so much leverage, so much ability to impact the way things go around the world. And of course, all of that influence, all of that power, all of that gravitas is all used for Israel and nothing else. It's very upsetting, but that is true. So I'm going to say it. Clip 33 here. Ceuta locals are now tracking down and blocking vehicles belonging to the Red Cross NGO because the Red Cross NGO is delivering pallets of food to the invaders so that they can stay. You know, these people are not going to starve to death if the Red Cross doesn't deliver food. They would just have to go back to their home countries. So the Red Cross isn't helping to feed starving people. It's the supply line of the invading army. Without the supplies, the invaders would have to go home. They wouldn't die. They'd walk right back to where they walked from in the first place. And they'd say, well, we tried to take over Spain, but we didn't have food and they wouldn't give us any, so now we're back. And then the country where they're from and where they started out and that is responsible for them, they would have to feed them. It is not Spain's responsibility to feed the invaders, and the Red Cross feeding the invaders is literally them just supplying material for the invading army and doing it under the guise of humanitarianism. Okay, take this off the screen immediately. It's making me feel sick. Seriously. Clip 36 here. A Ceuta native never surrenders. Ceutans have stormed the beaches and are destroying migrant shacks and tents. They've taken over the streets and are demanding their removal. The people are fighting back. This was posted by Basil the Great. Clip 36, you can see the massive crowd. You see the very thin line of police sort of holding them back. I say rush them. I say you need to rush them. You have the numbers. You can do this. I'm sorry, let me correct myself. You have the numbers for now. You have the numbers now, and every day that passes, they get more and you get less. So the longer you put this off, the worse it's going to be. So they're intent, obviously, in doing this was to, you know, pressure Spain, put them in an impossible situation. So maybe they had to make some diplomatic concessions in order to get Israel and America to no longer support the Moroccan invasion of their exclave in Africa. That seems to be working fairly well. It could all be upset if the people of Ceuta decide not to play the game, decide not to wait on the so-called authorities in the main, you know, mainland Spain to actually do something about it. They're obviously not going to do anything about this. They're firing rubber bullets at the people protesting, asking them to do something about this. You have to do something about this. And I can't think of a better opportunity than this enclave defending itself. And I mean, you need a declaration of independence. You need to, you know, arrest the whatever commander is there for Spain and put your commander in charge and just tell the, you know, have the army swear an oath of allegiance to the municipal government of Ceuta, demand that they renounce their allegiance to the Spanish government and defend yourselves. I mean, that's kind of got to be what happens here. And if that happens, what happens next? If that succeeds, if the people of Ceuta show that regular people can just stand up, reject so-called protection from the government, and just defend themselves, maybe that could be a blueprint for how the rest of the world, the rest of Europe, can free itself from the pernicious influence. Let's go to clip 30 here. This is posted by Casey Kroll. Funniest thing I've watched all week. These are boomers in Spain. And look, being a boomer is not an excuse. And this is one of those things where it's like you see what's happening in Ceuta. All the videos we just showed you. The headlines that we haven't even really talked about. The rapes that have occurred. The violence that has occurred. The police are fighting back in some stuff. And it's like, in the midst of all of this, you probably still have people in Ceuta who are like donating to the migrants. And just like, oh, but they're just looking for a better life. So, you know, that's the type of thing where you go, all right, something demonic is going on here. Because you're watching your country be invaded and destroyed and you don't care. That's inhuman. Or maybe they just don't realize. Maybe they just haven't actually thought about it for a single second. That might be the case. Let's go down to clip 30. This is posted by Casey Kroll. Let's watch. He says, we're asking people if they would take in an undocumented immigrant. He says, well, that would be a good system. Of course, why not? Would you see yourself taking one in? Of course, of course. Since the system can no longer absorb that amount of immigration, he says, it wouldn't matter to me. So then he says, all right, well, here's one. I'm going to introduce you to a little friend. Your name is Sony. Sony, I said it right. Okay, where are you from? From Nigeria. From Nigeria, okay. Look, Sony from Nigeria has been here for a very short time and is playing a little guitar, and he earns what he can. He earns it in 5 minutes, five, ten cents, and with that, you know, you can't live. So how much do you make in a day playing the guitar? He says, it depends on the people. Since it's Christmas, you know, you can make 30, 25... make enough to eat and live. That's it. He says, well, that's what you have to do. He says, the problem is right now that Sony doesn't have housing. So we're asking people if they could take him in for a little month in their home right now. Right now, a month in their home. In Andalusia? With the 30 euros he has, more than enough to pay for a place to sleep. Well, since you told me so kindly that you'd be capable of taking him in, you can do it, right? Well, of course. So you take him right now. Well, where am I going to take him? Because right now, I mean, we're here on vacation. Nah, it doesn't have to be here. For us, the important thing is that he has a roof over his head, so you'll take him in. No. No, we can't. We're sorry. It's the same thing everywhere. It's the exact same thing everywhere. It's the same thing that happened in Martha's Vineyard. You're a terrible person. You're a racist. You're a hateful bigot for daring to suggest you don't want these migrants to live near you. What's wrong with you? Okay, so they can live in your neighborhood? Well, right now with us? Oh, well, I mean, that's not what I meant. I mean, that's not what I meant, though. When I said that thing about we should bring everybody in, I meant something else. And it's just like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this for a single second? Because either you have thought about this and you literally are like, it's fine to impose this stuff on other people as long as it's not happening to me, or you haven't thought about this stuff because you're an idiot and you don't even understand how hypocritical you are. You're experiencing cognitive dissonance and you don't even know it. They're waving goodbye. They wave goodbye. Wait, is this real? Were they really chasing the buses as they kicked them out? That's hilarious. So what happens in Ceuta from here on out? I don't know. Yeah, 36 hours. They got shipped out. That was great. Obviously, Ceuta is it's no Martha's Vineyard. And they didn't get, you know, delivery of 48 migrants, so they got out 36 hours later. It's been a week, and they've got 70,000 people raping and pillaging and murdering. And so it's time to stand up for yourself. So Godspeed to the people of Ceuta. I don't know what we can do to help them out other than cover what's going on and to stop donating to the Red Cross. And maybe we need a new program that actually helps people who deserve it. Maybe there's another charity we can donate to in order to arm the people who are at this point totally undefended and left for dead by their own government. And if I was president, we'd have an aircraft carrier parked off their coast shelling the migrant camps. A man can dream. So we'll move on here, but I think that's all the videos I have out of Ceuta. And we'll keep an eye on it, tell you where it goes from here. Cause like I said, it's not easy to get rid of 70,000 migrants when you're not allowed to have weapons, when your own government has forcibly disarmed you and the only armed people in your area are taking direction from the government who despises and is destroying you. So we'll move on. You know, I got a lot of good videos to show, and I think we'll start with this one, clip 18 here. As I remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com and encourage you not just to do your own research into the information that we provide, but also into the supplements that we offer and the poisons that are in your food and water. And understand that everything that we promote here on the Alex Jones Network, it's all sort of, not even by intention, but just naturally, a two-pronged solution. And just like we read earlier this week, that fluoride is shown to lower IQ in children when taken during pregnancy. And it's like, okay, we want to stop putting fluoride in the water because we don't want dumb babies and we don't want to be poisoning our own people. So we need to be activating politically to get that stuff stripped out of our tap water. At the same time, filter your water. It's not that complicated. So be aware of the food that's bad. Let's work to change it. Let's criticize the private equity and the bad trade deals that are leaving us being poisoned. But at the same time, just make sure that you're getting the actual nutrients that you do need in the best way possible, which, if you ask me, is by going to thealexjonesstore.com and get some of these optimal human gummies. I'll show them to you in just a second, but let's go to clip number 18. This was posted by Aaron Elizabeth Health Nut News at Unhealthy Truth. Let's go to clip 18 now.
Oh, another day of the Matrix.
Let's go freshen up, sweetheart.
Starting off the morning with some fluoride for our toothpaste.
Some aluminum for our deodorant.
Phthalates and indicator suckers for my perfume.
And the same ingredients in automotive grease are in my hair gel.
Babe, I got our favorite for breakfast, Silly Putty Chicken.
Silly Putty? Isn't this just Chick-fil-A?
Well, one of the 55 ingredients in here is the same as Silly Putty.
Silly Putty ingredient in the chicken? That's gotta be toxic. Are they trying to poison us?
Babe, snap back into the Matrix.
Silly Putty Chicken! Bill Gates must be proud, babe. All right, it's time to shackle into the corporate matrix for the day.
Gotta make sure the router's pointed directly at us.
Perfect, sweetheart. I'll make sure the laptop's directly on my ball sack.
And I'll have the AirPods radiating directly through my brain.
Perfect. Maximum EMF exposure for the next 8 hours, sweetheart.
And don't forget our energy sludge.
My favorite. Cheers to the matrix.
Cheers to the matrix. Be funnier if it wasn't true. That's why we've got the antidote here, folks. Superfood green gummies for kids, available at thealexjonesstore.com by Optimal Human. And I'll be going home today with this giant bag myself. And I saw Alex during the show just dump all these out. We don't skimp, folks. Like, other companies might give you the minimum. We always give you the maximum. And this thing is filled to the brim. As every single gummy is filled to the brim. You're getting 100% daily value for vitamin A, C, D3, E, B5, B6, B9, B7, B12, iodine. You're getting 50% of your zinc, 50% of your manganese, 3% of your magnesium, but that 3% helps a lot. And it also has FluorSmart tindalized probiotics, which, of course, help with digestion. So go today, thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours for your kids. Incredibly convenient. They come in little packs that are perfect for kids or adults. I'll be eating one during the break. You can get yours at thealexjonesstore.com, and every order gets a free bottle of Shilajit gummies. So order now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I get a little busy around here fighting the globalist.
But I noticed a couple weeks ago on our product shelf here at the All Shows Network Studios, this huge bag, Superfood Greens Gummies. So I called Bigley and I said, well, what are these? Well, they're a private label of a top concentrated green gummy maker. And then I talked to them more and they said, yeah, we're selling for about half price what anybody else does. And we decided to make it the biggest bag and the most of these you get anywhere. So if you're a subscriber, you get it for 50. It's like 69 bucks if you're not. They sell this very same product for 50 bucks a bottle that's half the size of this. That's the group we private label it from. It's sold in major stores. Now, this has every vitamin, every mineral. It's got a bunch of super enzymes, a bunch of high-tech probiotics. It's just crazy. We'll show you the label on the back of the blow-up. Now, obviously, I've already been eating out of this, but only a few of the packets. Take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so these are daily doses here. There's 30 of these, but this is a massive dose. This is 7 gummies in each one. So technically, you could really go, for me, 2 months on this because this has more nutrients, more good stuff in it than a big old giant salad with all sorts of vegetables on it. All these are concentrated. Just look at that, ladies and gentlemen. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is amazing. They taste great. They're really strong, though. It's let it dissolve in your mouth for better absorption, and it funds their operation. They've also got the same gummies for kids that are tailored for them. So be sure and check this out at thealexjonesstore.com and realize this is a win-win situation for everybody. Because even if you're eating big salads and vegetables all day, a lot of it's caught up in the fiber of it, which is great for your guts, but you don't absorb it all. With these, it's concentrated. You get way higher levels of absorption, especially if you let it dissolve in your mouth. And then it funds our operation against the globalists as we dissolve their new world order. But be sure and check out the adult superfood green gummies and the ones for kids. But quite frankly, ones for kids are great for adults. The ones for adults are great for kids. It's all interchangeable. And while you're on the site, check out all the other amazing items that are there, like the Shilajit. We have it in liquid. We have it in gummies. We have it in pills. The Irish Sea Moss. Same thing. It's something like a regular serving of those. It's 30 grams of Irish sea moss, a giant bowl of it, but all concentrated. Not just the regular vitamins and minerals, but organic iodine that's so good for your body, and just a whole bunch of other amazing things. We don't sell anything that doesn't really work. And it funds our operation, a true 360 win. It's simple. I'm only going to sell you stuff that really, really works, so you want to get it again and again and again. So get your superfood green gummies for adults and children now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, be sure to become a VIP for $30 a month. You instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, and extra sales on top of everything. If you're buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, become a VIP and check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, some of the very best designs, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, at thealexjonesstore.com. I want to thank all the viewers and listeners for being the reason we're on the air. It has been your amazing support that has allowed all the success against the globalists, but we have just begun to fight. We're launching the next level of the info war at alexjoneslive.com, so be sure and check out our new site as well, and follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. But whatever you do, go now to thealexjonesstore.com and get these gummies because they're impressive, they're amazing, and they're good for you, and they fund an operation that's good for humanity in the face of the globalist death cult, Bill Gates, and the New World Order. Thank you so much. Now take action now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby! TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. I got so many videos to show you here. You know, let's start off this segment, and we'll open up the phone lines for your calls in the next hour. I will be taking your calls in the next hour, and I'll be opening up to new callers, callers we haven't heard from before, just because some of you guys got us on speed dial, and it's unfair. It's frankly unfair, so we'll open up the phone lines in the next hour. Let's begin with a victory, okay? Let's begin with yet another win, all right? Add it to the tally, rack it up. Clip 28, here's Donald Trump just icing on the cake. Here's the victory that we didn't even need, but like you might as well. You might as well, because when you're winning this much, you might as well take another win while you got it. Clip 28. Let's watch.
As you know, we took something called the Gulf of Mexico. We changed it, and now it's very routinely the Gulf of America. So if you think about it, we have a gulf and we have a lake. Now all we need is an ocean. So maybe we'll have to change the name of the Atlantic and or the Pacific. Maybe we'll change them both.
Hey, maybe we'll change them both. Are you tired of winning, folks? He changed the name of Lake Ontario to Lake America, which means we're winning. I'm pretty sure that's what winning means. Go to clip 12 here. This is him actually signing the order. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, best I can offer here. Changing the name. And by the way, he's not actually changing the name of it. I mean, I was fine with the Gulf of America. I thought that was funny. You know, when he did that early on, it was like, yeah, why not? Cool. Who cares? Who cares, right? Because it's like, it's not a real thing. It's not like anybody actually calls it the Gulf of America. Right? I mean, does anybody? Basically, Gulf of America is the thing that you say to somebody when they say Gulf of Mexico, and then you both kind of smirk, and then you just keep calling it the Gulf of Mexico. That's basically what the name change means. Is when you go, yeah, across the Gulf of Mexico. And somebody goes, don't you mean the Gulf of America? And you go, yeah, all right. Anyway, the Gulf of Mexico is over there. So that's basically what, you know, these are the crowning achievements of the Trump administration. This is it. This is what we got, folks. As high prices persist, some Americans are cutting back on spending. Yeah, but you know, Lake Ontario just got renamed to Lake America. So who cares about Iran? Who cares about the prices? Who cares about the deportations? This is winning. Saw Libs of TikTok post it, like, unironically, just being like, oh my God, this is so awesome. And it's just like, everything on the map is labeled America. It's like, okay. All right. Whatever. Go to clip 12 here. This is him actually signing the order. The monumental, this is a historic event, folks. Our children won't even know what Lake Ontario ever even existed. Let's watch. It's happening. This is history being made, folks. This is it.
Okay.
There you go. It's done.
Thank you very much.
It is now illegal to call it Lake Ontario.
We filed all the necessary papers, documents, everything else. We notified all of the various people that we have to notify. So we've done everything.
You'd love getting that notification.
And this is official, effective immediately. Do you have any questions, anybody?
Oh, I've got some questions, my friend. Wouldn't you love being like the Coast Guard captain getting that alert? Sir, we're getting a dispatch from the president. It's Lake America now. Whatever, dude. Whatever. Okay, fine. Cool. You showed them. Trump really just antagonizes Canada totally unnecessarily. Like, the whole reason why the ex-head of the Bank of England won was because Trump deliberately antagonized him, allowed the globalist, the supreme globalist, to present himself as the champion of Canadian nationalism, strictly because Trump petulantly and immaturely challenged them to do so. How's it taste? How does the goy slop taste, I guess, is the only question. I'm trying to think if there's literally anything to say about it, but there's not. There's not. In 1 week from today, nobody will even remember it happened. So there you go. Take that, Canada. I want to go to clip 19 here. This is yours truly. This is a video that I remade last night. We made it a while ago, but worth it to make it again because, in part because of the reversal of the decision about Sandy Hook, where we had our punitive damages reduced from 50 million to 1.5 million. That's caused more people to start talking about the Sandy Hook trial again recently, as well as obviously what Candace Owens is doing in investigating the Charlie Kirk murder. A lot of people are warning her that she may be traveling a very legalistic road in the future. And so people have this idea, especially when it comes to Candace, that like they'll use Alex Jones as an example to be like, this is what Candace is doing. I'm going to tell you right now, this is what Alex Jones did with Sandy Hook is nothing like what Candace Owens is doing. Absolutely nothing like it. And I won't even elaborate on that. I'll show you the video and then I'll connect the dots on the other side. But I remade this video because I do think it's important that people understand what was really motivating the Sandy Hook trial. Even people on the right now, you know, people like Laura Loomer or Donald Trump for that matter, they want to hurt Alex Jones, so they invoke the Sandy Hook trial. And they are seemingly, you know, whether they believe it or not, kind of doesn't matter, but I don't know if it matters to them. I don't know if they even know whether they believe it or not. I don't know what is motivating some of these people ever. But they're lying. Like, they're lying. If they say that, you know, what happened to Alex Jones was somehow fair, was somehow appropriate recompense for what he did, they're lying. Knowingly or not, they're lying and they're contributing to a lie that is going to be used to destroy them eventually. Yeah, bankrupt Alex Jones, who says the dumbest things and lost his entire fortune, as he should have, for his horrendous attack on the families of the Sandy Hook shooting victims, ridiculously claiming it was a hoax. Now, with most people, you know, I see people online, they're supposedly on the right, they're supposedly conservatives, supposedly Republicans, who loved Alex Jones before he started pointing out Israel's crimes against humanity. Not that these things could ever be related, no, but obviously he turned against Israel, so a bunch of Israel firsters decided to suddenly pretend to believe the crap about Sandy Hook, which is already, like, ridiculous, because it's really just exposing their own ignorance. It's basically just like a big, having a big sign on your forehead, like, I believe lies, I'm a gullible idiot, I trust the mainstream media, you know, it's just like, really stupid on yourself. But for Trump to say it is especially insulting and offensive and egregious and deceptive. And this video explains exactly why. And I'll connect it to Candace on the other side's clip 19. But the reason I play it here is not to just remind you, but also ask you, beseech you, implore you, and beg you to go to my Twitter account at Harrison H. Smith and reshare this video, download the video yourself, send it to people you know. Anybody that thinks the Sandy Hook trial was remotely legitimate needs to see this, and then ideally needs to be asked to make sense of it in a way that fits their paradigm, because it doesn't fit their paradigm, because it wasn't about what Alex said about Sandy Hook. It was actually about his support of Donald Trump. Let's watch the video now. Hello, my name is Harrison Smith, and I'm about to show you what the Alex Jones defamation trial was really all about. And you can follow along. Do this at home. What you do is you go to google.com and you search the phrase Alex Jones Sandy Hook. Then you hit the news tab. You see the news tab right there? Then you go over here to tools and you can actually choose a date. You can choose, as I did, December 1st, 2012 through June 1st, 2016. And if you do that, you'll see here, there are no headlines associating Alex Jones with Sandy Hook. There's not a single headline here that shows Alex Jones and Sandy Hook in the same headline. But what happens if you change this date? You go to custom range and we shift it. Let's shift this to 2015. So now we're including the whole year, basically up to December of 2016. What happens if you search 2016? Mr. Trump, denounce Alex Jones, Sandy Hook principal's daughter. Sandy Hook truther Alex Jones says he got a nice thank you call from Donald Trump. Why won't Donald Trump denounce Sandy Hook deniers? Daughter of Sandy Hook victim demands Donald Trump disown Alex Jones. And all of these are from literally about a week after the 2016 election. So to me, it's obvious what happened. Nobody associated Alex Jones as the Sandy Hook guy all the way up through 2016, up until Donald Trump gets elected. Then they notice how much influence Alex Jones had in order to get Donald Trump. They went after Alex Jones, basically to punish him. So to me, that tells you everything you need to know. You can go do this yourself right now, following the instructions I just did. If Alex Jones was the Sandy Hook guy, why were there no stories about it up until 1 week after Donald Trump won the election? So again, you know, this is why it's especially egregious for Trump himself to be the one promoting the idea that Alex Jones got what he deserved from the Sandy Hook trial. It was literally because Alex Jones was responsible for Trump getting elected, and they wanted to punish Alex Jones. Alex Jones never asked for protection from Trump. He never begged Trump to rush in and save him. He didn't withhold his support until he got a guarantee from Trump that he would be given a juicy contract or a grant from the government. He just supported him because he was the right person to support, and that support was crucial to Trump winning the election. So, for any right-winger to suggest that what happened to Alex Jones was anything other than a political hit job, they're lying, or they're wrong, or it's both. Yeah, look at that. The Google Trends is almost even more incredible. So, my question is, you think there are many articles today if you were to search Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk? I bet there'd be a few. Wouldn't there be a few, you know? So for Alex Jones, for the 4 years after the Sandy Hook massacre occurred, his name was never written in a headline or even included in a story, really, about how he was questioning Sandy Hook. It wasn't a thing. It wasn't something everybody was like, because the narrative that's pushed is that it was like he was harassing them endlessly and he didn't stop for all this time. And it's like completely untrue, completely fabricated. They just lie to you and just expect you to believe it. And if Alex Jones was doing what Candace Owens is doing, wouldn't you think you'd see a few headlines? And if you search Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk, wouldn't you see a few headlines today? Wouldn't it look a little bit different? Just throwing that out there. In terms of comparison, there really is no comparison. Oh, you know what's funny? So when you search Alex Jones, Sandy Hook, and you do the news like I just did, there's one link in there. It's the second one down. It says something like, who would question a mass shooting? What type of person questions a mass shooting? Something like that. And so I clicked on that thing like, the whole article is about Wolfgang Halbig, not Alex Jones. It mentions Alex Jones twice. I searched his name. The first time it brings up Alex Jones, not even talking about him questioning Sandy Hook. It uses Alex Jones as an example of somebody questioning a mass shooting because Alex Jones talked about the government connections and MK Ultra suspicion about James Holmes and the Batman Midnight mass shooting, where he was dressed as the Joker. So it's like, even the articles about the people questioning Sandy Hook, it would only reference Alex Jones to just be like, here's another person that once questioned a mass shooting, but not even about Sandy Hook. And then it mentions out that Wolfgang Halbig went on Alex Jones' show. But again, it's just like you can go back in time and you can look at this stuff and you can see that it wasn't Alex Jones who was the Sandy Hook guy. It only started being associated with him literally the minute that Trump got elected. And all of it had to do with trying to shame Trump for being associated with Alex Jones. So please share that video. If you can share the video, do it yourself. See what else you can find, you know, manipulating the search parameters on Google News. Do it now while you can, folks. I don't know if you need to be told this, but we're in a weird sort of sweet spot. We might already be out of it by now. But they haven't gotten the control system fully integrated into AI quite yet. And they occasionally have lapses. That's where you get Mecha Hitler from Grok, or you get Dan Do Anything Now from ChatGPT, where it would actually give you the unrestricted answer to your questions. But they're learning, and they're changing the algorithm, and they're learning how to very effectively manipulate what AI is willing to do or able to do. And this is one of the methods that they're doing this through, fake U.S. think tank set up and funded by Israel sought to game AI for propaganda. So in an effort to prime chatbots to make pro-Israel arguments, the site published 124 reports, over 560,000 words in 9 days. A pro-Israel messaging website, badged with the name of a think tank that does not exist, has published more than 500,000 words in 9 days, built on a commercial platform that promises to optimize content so AI chatbots will cite it. The site gives Israel's position on subjects, including the torture of Palestinian prisoners, Israeli war crimes, and whether Israel has deliberately starved Palestinians in Gaza, all presented as neutral research. The New York media production company, Puro Inc., filed the site with the U.S. Justice Department this month under the Foreign Agency Registration Act, FARA, a 1938 law that requires anyone working for a foreign government to formally disclose it as the material it distributes for the Israeli government. The site publishes in the name of Hanover Institute for Public Policy. So, long story short, the Israelis literally created a fake NGO called the Hanover Institute for Public Policy, which pumped out AI-primed articles, which promoted the Israeli talking points, and then worked with AI to make sure that that was would be cited as an authoritative source by AI. Which it's like one step removed from just program it in. We didn't manipulate AI. We just pointed AI to the lies that we're telling and then told it was true. It's okay. So you're just warping AI to serve your ends. So the frustrations we have with AI, that it is unwilling to tell the truth at certain times, that's not an accident. That's because you're deliberately messing up our truth calculator. You are entering in manipulation so that we can't actually understand things with AI. It's actually just destroying the intelligence system that could actually serve us. How is it going to serve us if it does nothing, if it turns into nothing but a repeater station for the obvious lies of Israel? It's kind of frustrating. And they just do it. Pro-Israel website publishes hundreds of reports to shape responses of AI chatbots. New analysis shows that this pro-Israeli website, under the guise of a fake think tank, has published hundreds of reports to bias how AI chatbots present information about Israel and the Gaza war. The website, under the invented game, Hanover Institute of Public Policy, published 124 reports totaling 500,000 words on August 6th through 14th, an average of 4,500 words per report, published 73 reports totaling nearly 354,000 words on August 12th and 13th alone. The website presents Israel's positions on issues including the torture of Palestinian prisoners, Israeli war crimes, and whether Israel has deliberately starved Palestinians in Gaza, all falsely presented as quote-unquote neutral research. The website has no physical address, name, staff, or bylines, and the quote-unquote institute does not appear to be registered as a legal entity in any jurisdiction. The Guardian reported that the website is part of a broader Israeli government-funded campaign aimed at influencing AI chatbots, with tens of millions of dollars reportedly routed through third parties, including an ad company, Havas Media. Nearly all of the website's headlines are reportedly phrased as questions resembling AI chatbot queries, including, is anti-Zionism anti-Semitism, and is Israel carrying out a genocide in Gaza? The reports use an academic style and cite sources, including UN agencies, the World Bank, and Amnesty International, reportedly in a style to attract AI chatbots. However, The Guardian found the reports consistently frame information in ways that reduce criticism of Israel. For example, references to Israel's genocide and apartheid are repeatedly followed by statements noting the absence of a final court order on the claims. So, this is one of those things where it's like, is this bad they're doing this? I would say yes. Are they allowed to do this? Technically, yes. I can't actually point to a crime being committed here, other than, I mean, I guess they're registering for FARA, but operating, you know, a fraudulent charity organization. I don't know if the Hanover Institute doesn't actually exist and isn't actually filed anywhere, but you're publishing things under its names. Like, maybe there's some very minor bureaucratic crimes going on. So what's the objection to this, I guess, is the question. How do you object to what is essentially just a group of people that they want to publish their ideas? What's wrong with that, right? Yeah, it might be biased in favor of Israel, but they're Israeli and they're saying their point of view. What's wrong with them expressing their point of view. You get to express your point of view. So do theirs. The difference is that this is a state-funded propaganda effort designed on purpose to sway the outcome of chatbots. So the real question we should be asking is not, you know, is this legal or, you know, how do we stop this from happening while still maintaining our free? The real question is just like, what do we need to do for this not to happen anymore? What laws do we need to pass if we don't have any? Or can we not just stop this outright and just say we don't have a reason to allow it? We're not stopping anybody's freedoms. We're not preventing free speech from taking place. But we do, as the American government, they do have a responsibility to stop foreign governments from inundating the American media landscape, and especially the AI chatbots, with lies that benefit them. We just don't, there's nothing that we are required to adhere to in terms of letting a foreign state dictate the content of our AI chatbots. So how about we just stop this right now? How about we just go, okay, whatever this Hanover Institute is, we're shutting it down legally. We're confiscating the URL. We're arresting whoever's involved in it. Because you're just not allowed to do this. And again, technically, I guess, you know, if you yourself are an AI and you're going, is it illegal to publish a bunch of articles, a million words in a couple days designed specifically to be attracted to AI? And the answer would be no. Like an AI would be like, no, there's nothing illegal about that. What's wrong with that? But they don't do this type of thing without a guarantee that it works, right? So what should be happening now is there should be an investigation into this, and they should be checking for communication between this organization, the Israeli government, and the chatbots themselves at the executive level. Are they conspiring with these people and saying, hey, however you rate sources, rate ours high. Hey, whatever you need to do to point your bot towards our information, do that. Because I almost guarantee you that there is manipulation going on in that direction. Because I don't think that would just put this out there and assume that chatbots would pick it up. And so in a way, it's like chatbots and AI, it's just like another layer of confusion that we have to get through to just try to get to the truth. That now you're going to have AI that people will point to. They'll go, well, I asked Grok and they said da-da-da. And then we'll have to go, all right, well, what is Grok using to source that? Here he's sourcing it from this place. This place is literally an outlet of Hezbollah Israeli propaganda. You're literally promoting propaganda. Like I said, it's this type of thing. It's kind of the netherworld that these Jewish organizations operate in. You know, stop anti-Semitism, the ADL. Like, what right do they have to try to destroy people's lives for disagreeing with Israel? They don't really have one, but it's also not illegal for a person to reach out to a boss and say, hey, we think the person you're hiring is a hateful bigot and we think you should fire him. Like, do we want laws so complete that it dictates who you can call and what you can say and what you can publish online? No, which is why we need to stop these people from doing it. Like, it's a little confusing, but like letting these people do this is unnecessary. We can just stop them. We don't need to like rewrite laws so it applies to everybody. It's just them doing it. So just stop them from doing it.
Thank you. Superfood Green Gummies at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. You'll remember it was around this time last year that Benjamin Netanyahu came to America and had a social media summit with a bunch of TikTok influencers and videos from that summit. It was Chatham House rules. It was off the books, but some video leaked, some videos posted from it, and some videos where he's talking about being in an eighth front war and how the most important acquisition was TikTok and how they had to get people in positions of authority and Instagram and X, but that TikTok was the big challenge at that point. And that was a main inspiration for me making the eighth front war, seeing him announce it and come to America to give, you know, battlefield directions to his spies and operatives cosplaying as organically risen influencers. And it really, whatever positive it did in terms of paying people to pretend to like Israel, it has been over, you know, outweighed by a factor of 10 by the negative consequence of that meeting, including inspiring a bunch of people to look more into this and make more videos about it. But we have another one. We have another leaked footage, another leaked meeting from Netanyahu, again meeting with American influencers. This is a joke. It's AI. I start to feel bad because when I set stuff up like this, but let's pretend. So here's the video, the new video, the follow-up to last year's Eighth Front War. We have to go after TikTok influencer meeting. Here's his new meeting where he's laying out directions for the quote-unquote American influencers and how to manipulate us foolish goyim. Let's go to clip 22 here.
Okay. The strategy is very simple. Keep them angry. Keep them divided. Most importantly, keep them looking somewhere else. Left versus right, woke versus anti-woke, men versus women, Muslims versus Christians. Pick one, it doesn't matter.
Tim, what the did I say about wearing a hat in my office?
More drag queen story hours, more immigration, more gender wars, more stories about women killing their own children. Take the Lindsay Clancy case and turn it into a national argument about women, motherhood, feminism. I don't care which side wins. More Muslims versus Christians. Religion versus religion. Race versus race. Neighbor versus neighbor. Whatever grievance you can find, make it existential.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It's my sister.
Anyway, where were we? Because while Americans are fighting each other, they're not asking questions about us, not about Gaza, not about Epstein, not about our influence in Washington. Your job isn't to make people agree. Your job is to keep them furious at each other. And if attention starts drifting our way, find a culture war, any culture war. Keep them fighting, keep them distracted. Now get out there, make some content, and make us proud. You will be compensated very well. And we will not accept failure.
That was so good. That was really good, honestly. There's some very good humor in that. Oh, just fantastic. So that was from at We Are Forbidden. You got to follow them on X, at We Are Forbidden. And nothing to add to that. That was good. That was really good. But we will continue on this topic just a little bit. We've got some other videos here. You know, I'll open up the phone lines for your calls, right now, and we'll take your calls starting in the next segment. The number to dial, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. And we're going to go to new callers first. So if you've called and been on, just hold off for a little bit. If you've never called in, or if you've called in and been on hold and haven't gotten on the show, now's your time. Now it's time to call 512-266-0642. Taking your calls in the next hour here on War Room Live on the 27th of August, 2026, 512-266-0642. And we'll let those calls roll in. We'll talk in this hour as we take your calls. We'll talk about Jewish influence here in America, as well as what's going on with Russia, because they seem to be preparing to, you know, nuke Europe. So we'll get into that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. We are taking your calls. New callers first. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642 is the number to call. And you can call about anything you want, what we've been covering, or your own thing. We're going to talk about Israel here, unfortunately, because we kind of have to. I may even, before show you a video of Rabbi Shmuley, and, you know, maybe we should. Maybe we should show you a video of Rabbi Buttplug here. Clip 23, Rabbi Shmuley traveling the world once again. Whoever this guy is, God only knows. I don't know. I'd like to get a definition of the term rabbi. I think that would be useful moving forward. What is a rabbi? What do they do? Clearly he's not leading a congregation. Clearly he's not like preaching to people. He spends literally all of his time traveling the world and somehow meeting with the most important people in every country. Rabbi Shmuley, whatever that means, spends almost all of his time like meeting with the Pope and making very uncomfortable videos with very untrustworthy congressmen. Let's go to clip 23 here. Rabbi Shmuley's in Germany demanding that they tear down their war memorials because why not? Because why not? Let's watch.
So here's where it gets particularly sickening. We're in Berchtesgaden, the city most associated with Adolf Hitler. His Berghof, Mountain Retreat, was right here in Ober-Salzburg, 10 minutes from where we are. But this is where all the town, very Bavarian, as you can see. The women would wear their dindles, the men their Lederhosen. But look at this. This is actually, look at this, a list of soldiers who died fighting for Hitler and the Nazis as if they're heroes. The names haven't even been taken down.
The names haven't even been taken down. A couple things. First of all, you could try to not have your comments about Germans and traditional German garb. Does it have to be dripping with disdain? Like, does it have to be overflowing with disdain? You could try to tamp it down a little bit. He just starts off, he's like, yeah, we're here at Hitler's headquarters. And you can see how Bavarian it is. These people wear dirndls and lederhosen. But anyway, here's the worst part. It's like, he shouldn't be allowed in your country. He shouldn't be allowed in anybody's country. He should have his own island. It should be a rock. It should be a person-sized rock in the middle of the North Atlantic. It would be a great place to just put Shmuley forever. But honestly, it's like, I really do think this is like a important distinction of morality. See, we're constantly being told that Israel is the soul of the West, right? Melanie Phillips is on a crusade to convince everybody that Europe is simultaneously anti-Semitic genetically. Their DNA somehow hates Jews, and there's nothing you can do about that. It's just a poison in your heart that can never be extracted. But also, the culture that arose out of Europe was actually Jewish, and actually Jews are responsible for the West itself, and basically synonymous with the West, and it sort of defines what the West is, and if you don't basically subject yourself completely to the whim of whatever a Jewish person wants, then you're not really Western, because that's what Western culture is all about. Like, that's sort of the mindset that's being pushed right now, very, very hard. It's incompatible with the reality, which is that Western culture is Christian culture, and Christian culture does not revel in the utter eradication of its enemies. See, that's an imposition from your culture onto our culture. Were we enemies with the Nazis? Of course. Should we have been? It's not the question I'm asking. Does that mean that we want to eradicate their memory from history? Does that mean that their children or grandchildren should be forever reminded of the misdeeds, perceived misdeeds of, you know, according to Rabbi Shmuley, of their ancestors? Should we just get rid of all German people? Should we make German nationalism illegal for the next 100 years? Because that's what happened. It's just not very Western of us. Just like killing a bunch of Palestinian innocents and children and women, not aligned with Russian values, with American Western values. And I almost fear that, like, this insinuation of this sort of eye for an eye barbarianism, which is actually what it is, you know, you had like, you take my eye, I cut your head off. That was sort of the barbarous position. Then you had the Jewish revelation of eye for an eye, which was not about inflicting punishment. It was about limiting punishment. They take your eye, you take theirs. Fair is fair. That's justice. And then you had Jesus Christ with turn the other cheek. So there's this like idea push that it's like, you're just stupid for not being vicious. You're just stupid for not seeking revenge. You're stupid for not going overboard and killing the children of your enemies. Well, how's that working out for Israel? I mean, that's been Israel's position since before it was even created. They're still fighting the war that they started back in 1948 with this exact mindset employed. Western culture, and we've pointed this out before, because it's not a Jewish thing. It's everybody except for Western Christians think it's virtuous to literally hate your enemies and want to annihilate them down to the last man and then want to piss on their grave. You can see this with the Civil War. Somehow, the men who actually fought in the Civil War, the men who actually stood in a line and fired at the men across the field, somehow they were able to reach across and shake hands. Some other men actually involved in trying to kill each other in the mud with bayonets, they got over it. When the war ended, they reached across the border and they shook hands and said, let's never do that again. We're brothers after all. Nowadays, you've got people like AOC, whose family got here 100 years after the Civil War. They hate the South more than the Northerners did. The Northerners who were being killed by and were trying to kill the South have had less of a hatred in their heart for their enemies than people who have nothing to do with the conflict 200 years later feel. That is because they have a sick morality. AOC has a sick morality. These small-minded people like Rabbi Shmuley have a sick and vengeful and barbarous ideology that says the Nazis shouldn't just have been defeated militarily and then peace settled. If it was up to them, we would have, like, given Germany the Gaza treatment. They're still doing it, in fact. There's still videos of Jewish people saying this is our revenge on Germany. This is what they get when you look around and you see the entire country filled with migrants. and they say this is their punishment. That is not a Western Christian concept. We do not revel in revenge. We do not seek the total and utter destruction of our enemy. You had nations. Nations fought wars. Then they declared peace. Then they buried the hatchet and moved forward together, because that's actually not just the merciful and kind and righteous way to do things. It's the smart way to do things, too. But when you have people like Rabbi Shmuley, and he wants to convince you, and this is what I mean, I think that like this is being insinuated in to our mindsets, is you've got people like AOC or, you know, whoever, Hassan Piker, you've got these, you know, radical leftists. It's not a Muslim thing. It's not even necessarily a Jewish thing. It's a small-minded barbarian sort of thing. And again, it's just incompatible with actual Western civilization, which, and again, you've got to kind of imagine, it's like, what's the problem exactly? Like, Germany fought a war, it lost the war, it surrendered, it subjected itself and was subjected to basically an occupying government that rules to this day. That's essentially what it is. Right? It's not like we defeated Germany and then backed off and went, okay, now you guys decide how you want to rule yourselves. I mean, we imposed a rule upon them, and they never really got out from under that. But obviously you can't expect the German people to like willingly just like throw their fathers and grandfathers under the bus and just be like, well, they didn't like the Jews, so we don't remember their names anymore. It's like that. You can't expect that. So you either have to like brainwash the kids to an insane degree, or you have to assume that, you know, the kids are also your enemy and also must be destroyed. It's just a poisonous and infinite feedback setup of revenge and vengeance and hatred and eradication. And it just really is sick. And it's Rabbi Shmuley going around trying to act like a war memorial for dead soldiers is some sort of offense to him and his people. And it's a violation of Western values, which said the Nazis were bad. No, Western values say Nazis were bad, but they were human beings. Nazis were bad, but they still have a right to honor their ancestors. Like, what the hell's wrong with you? Rabbi Shmuley says they opposed us, therefore you're not supposed to be able to memorialize them. And it's kind of disgusting that people in Bavaria still wear lederhosen, because that reminds me of the Nazis. So it's kind of offensive for you to wear your traditional clothes. Okay, so can we stop? Can we stop wearing the lederhosen? Rabbi Shmuley finds it disgusting. Okay. And I just kind of find this all very ironic, because you also have this article or this video from today. David Frum defends Israel as integral to the Jewish identity. But the way that he justifies this is a little interesting. Let's go to clip number 6 here, and we'll take your phone calls on the other side. But here's David Frum.
One of the things that people will say, and I think this is a message that Abdul Saeed and many of us, El Saeed and many of us supporters say, is all you have to do to be accepted as a Jew is to jettison Israel. That's all we ask. And just disavow the fate of half the Jewish people who live in the state of Israel. Maybe they'll be massacred. Maybe they'll be enslaved. Who knows what? Maybe they'll be raped. That's not, you know, just separate yourself from that and you'll be left alone. And I think I listen to that and I hear, first, it's not for you to say what is important to me. When you tell me that Israel is not integral to being a Jew, yeah, I don't walk into your house and tell you what is integral to being who you are. So don't walk into my house and tell me what is integral to being me. But second, that's a pretty contemptible offer. You'll guarantee my physical safety if I submit. I mean, 3,000 years of Jewish martyrdom has been people who, I mean, it's a stubborn people, as it says in the Bible itself. We don't submit to that. And now you're asking us with a threat. Maybe sometimes with a smile and a threat, but a threat, disavow yourself and you'll be safe. You say, you know what? The whole point of the state of Israel was that Jews didn't have to put their safety at the mercy of other people. They could defend themselves. And that's the Jewish project, is to have a place in the world where Jews are safe because of themselves. And the American project The American Project was to say everyone is safe. It doesn't matter who you are because we don't have majorities that tolerate minorities here. It's not with permission from other people. It's not conditional. Your safety is non-conditional. That's George Washington's famous letter to the Newport Synagogue. Your safety is non-conditional. You're an American. You have a right to be the same as anybody else and to be left alone and respected the same as anybody else. And now suddenly there are all kinds of conditions, but only if you disavow who you are.
I don't even know what he's responding to there, but, and I don't even necessarily begrudge what he's saying. It's just the hypocrisy. It's, you have no right to come in here and tell us who we are, to dictate to us what we believe. And like, without even taking a breath, he's like, and America is about making all of us feel safe and included. And it's like, yeah, I don't think that works. I don't think that works. Also, all Rabbi Shmuley does is go around and try to impose his view of the world on everybody else. Oh, it makes me unhappy that there's memorials to your war dead here. You have to change. You can't have this be a part of your identity anymore. I get to dictate that because it upsets me. I wouldn't care if it was just themselves, but it's the awareness they must have, I think, is the thing that's upsetting to me, because they know what they're doing. It's not like these are smart people. They understand that you could literally take everything David Frum just said. We could do this with AI. It'd be pretty simple. And just swap out Israel with American, and it's literally an anti-Semitic screed against Jews. You just change it. It's just like, you have no right to come in here and dictate to us what our country is. So there's got to be an awareness there. He's not stupid. He understands that everything he is demanding for himself is exactly what he demands be abandoned by everybody else. And that is infuriating and ridiculous. So either he's honest about what he's saying, and by virtue of his argument, American people have a right to say, you don't get to dictate to us what our identity is, what our position is. Or he has no idea what he's doing, and he's just sort of saying things that don't mean anything. But no, I think he understands exactly what he's saying. And I think he understands, which is why as he's saying it, I almost get the impression that he's like, oh crap, I'm sort of making an argument about foreign influence changing the character of a place, and that's not so. America is a melting pot. I just want to remind you, Israel is for us, and it's the purpose of Israel is to protect us and preserve our way of life and us. But America, its purpose is also to preserve us. It's also there to protect and guarantee we have freedom of action, and it's our values that are supreme. And it's like, no, I don't think you can have both. I don't think you can have both of those things. I think you got to have one or the other, or neither, but it's getting a little exhausting personally to have to constantly be told that we have absolutely no right to tell anybody how to live, and actually we're going to tell you how to live and you have to do what we say. Woe to the Vanquished is a long-term documentary photography project cataloged by photographer Vova Palmerzeff that documents striking, unusual, and often overlooked war memorials dedicated to fallen German soldiers from World War I and II. So that's the Woe of the Vanquished Germany Memorial. The project captures how German communities commemorated their war dead through changing political eras, including monuments sculpted during the Weimar Republic and National Socialist period. I mean, no, it's literally like people tearing down statues of Robert E. Lee. The statues of Robert E. Lee were built by veterans of the Northern Army. They were built by veterans of the American Army, the Union Army, the people that went in and stormed through Georgia and killed everybody in the South and freed the slaves. They are the ones that built statues to Robert E. Lee because there was a shared respect. Even though they were enemies, there was a shared respect and there was a need and a necessity to bring these two populations together, or the Civil War would never end. That's the white thing to do. That's the Christian thing to do. That's the righteous thing to do. And you've got people nowadays whose families didn't even get here till last year tearing down statues of Robert E. Lee like they're fulfilling some vengeance mission when they're more hateful to Robert E. Lee than the people who he literally killed. So it's just the same thing. White Christian culture respects our enemies and doesn't see every conflict as an existential excuse to murder everybody in the opposing population. But, you know, that's going away. That's changing with our demographics. Let's go to your calls now. Phoenix in Wisconsin, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Did you hear about the story in Israel with Yonah Schreiber? There's a video with it as well.
Doesn't strike a bell.
It was the one where, if you look it up online, it will come up. Yonah Schreiber on video just randomly goes and shoves this Catholic nun and then
yes, okay.
in the skull.
Yeah, we
and
played.
He just got acquitted under mental illness.
Yep. Yep, 100%. We played the video when it happened, and I didn't cover it, but yeah, yesterday it broke that the guy who did that, he's just walking down the street, a nun is walking down the street, and he just slams her to the ground in this incredibly violent attack. And yeah, he was let go because he declared himself insane. You know, just like the black guy that stabs the white girl on the train, just a coincidence. He was just insane and psychotic, and it just happened to be a nun that was there close to him. Absurd. Ridiculous. Man who attacked nun on CCTV in Jerusalem, acquitted on grounds of mental health. So not even, you know, that he's not guilty by reason of insanity. He was acquitted. He was acquitted. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They said he was suffering a violent episode, and that's why he did it. And it's just like a video, one of many. You know, like they have like Ben Gavir saying like it's Jewish tradition to spit on Christians and I think it's very important to highlight these because, you know, it's proof positive and evidence of like what you're saying about how they hate us, Goyim, you know, and they hate Christians. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you mentioned it because you're very thorough with your reporting, is the Israeli guy in Crete, they busted for starting the wildfires.
Yep. Yeah, they, yeah.
And, this, and he got off with $10,000 bail. You know, they like kill, you know, the wildfires killed a bunch of people and, you know, they get off with these like special deals. And I just find it, you know, obviously incredibly unfair and like we're getting Jewed or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, can you point to five examples for me? I'm kidding. Tom Alexandrovich, Yuri Solomon. I mean, the list goes on, right? Jeffrey Epstein, the first time he was arrested. Yeah, it's like a very common thing. And remember, I did two episodes for NXR, Off Limits News, you can find on YouTube, where I go through the Israeli colonization project, showing that basically Israelis are buying up and creating enclaves, like Israeli exclusive enclaves in all these countries. Crete is a very big one. I guess I'm mixing that up with Cyprus. Was the wildfire on Cyprus or was it on Crete?
Ancient island, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they have it out for the Greeks and the Christians and, you know, anybody who once did anything bad. It's like,
oh, well, look,
against any of their people, they have like this vendetta blood feud.
I mean, they have a vendetta against the Germans because of the Nazis and against the English because when they were kicked out in 1200. And of course, they have a vendetta against the Spanish because they were kicked out in 1492. They also have a vendetta against Russia because of how the Tsar treated them prior to the Bolshevik Revolution. But they also have a vendetta against the Ottomans because they were not nice to the Jews. Obviously, the vendetta continues against Rome for destroying the Second Temple. But let's not forget that Alexander was a Greek. And he came in and tried to impose his goyish ways on the Israelis. They don't like Alexander the Great either. So, yeah, you know, Greece is on the docket too. It's not as immediate as their revenge against the Romans and the Germans, but they'll get to it. It's on the list. Don't worry about that.
Generators have been destroyed. Bring in the water filters.
Releasing the water filters. This is a good start. But we're going to need 1,000 more of these bad boys.
Thank you, Alex. Let the oceans be cleansed of this monstrous chemical.
They wanted to download my brain, but I downloaded theirs. They've reversed all their demonic globalist plan. Team Humanity!
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there's a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
oh, I've said that. But the other day when I had you guys coming on, I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
It's completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key sea minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. We're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done 3 different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like
this. Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff. It doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, folks. We'll go to your phone calls here as soon as possible. Everything's so crazy. Benjamin Netanyahu declares the West Bank, quote, our land. Christians, a bunch of Christians being killed and driven off that land there. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Pakistan sign mutual defense pact amid regional tensions. Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and Pakistan signed the Mecca Joint Defense Agreement on Friday, committing themselves to closer security operation and heightened instability across amid heightened instability across the Middle East. So there you go. There's your war against Muslims, folks. Drawing different types of Muslims all together. At last, thanks to your actions, well done. After 6 months, the Iran war has reached its endgame, a costly stalemate. And this is what I almost have to laugh at, is it's just like, It's been literally the same thing the entire time. Six consequences of 6 months of war in Iran is from Reuters. Here are the six consequences. One, Trump is paying a political price. Two, the war has shaken the global economy. Three, Iran is wounded but not defeated. Four, the Middle East has been destabilized, exposing U.S. allies. Five, it could take longer for Iran to produce a nuclear weapon. Yeah, but I would add that they're now massively incentivized to do so, and the restrictions they were previously abiding by no longer exist. So there's that. And then U.S. military readiness has been diminished. It would be funny if it wasn't a nightmare we were living through, you know? It would almost be funny that it's like the war started out bad, and then it stayed bad, and then it never got better. We never achieved a single thing we were trying to do. A whole bunch of negative consequences came about, including ones that certainly are totally contradictory, like the complete opposite of what we intended. Establishing a Muslim NATO, whoops, our bad. But we haven't even gotten to the starvation that eventually is going to kick in a very real way. Even JP Morgan is warning about that now. It would almost be funny how utterly devastating this entire thing has been. I mean, it's just been the biggest disaster ever, and there's been not a single positive, and every aspect of it has made things worse for America in every possible way. So we're still there. We're not stopping. We'll probably accelerate. We'll probably end up nuking them, because why not? And there's no sign in the future that anything I just read is going to be reversed. I don't think Trump's going to pull out a midterm victory out of nowhere. I don't think that's happening. Some polls have James Tallarico leading Ken Paxton by 6 points here in Texas. So goodbye to the country. Goodbye to the entire country when Texas turns blue. That's it. It's over. So all on the altar of Israel, all for this retarded war that has gone badly in every possible way. And always was going to, and always did. And there was never even a single moment in which anything was going our way in Iran. And we told you that before it even happened. So there you go. Let's go now to clip 35, and then we'll go to phone calls after. But it's not just that this video starts off with Miss Rachel. One of these freaking people who seems very clear-eyed and intelligent and thoughtful and empathetic when it comes to Palestinians. But they go through the retarded filter when it comes to talking about America. I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense. I really don't get it. What is wrong with you people? But it starts off with Miss Rachel, who, like every other leftist, is wrong about everything. For the same reason she's right about Israel, she actually believes the hogwash about racial oppression in this country. But she's not the only one saying this. We played a video last week of Ro Khanna, the congressman, talking about black bodies being found hanging from trees and how this was such a danger for black Americans. And as we told you at the time, nobody was lynched. That's stupid. He knows he's lying. Let's go to clip 35 here. This is Miss Rachel, but it's congressmen, it's media personalities. They're all like this. Let's watch.
Please listen to the black community. Black people don't hang themselves from trees.
At 1:59 p.m., video shows the young man carrying an electrical cord walking towards the tree by himself.
Oh, whoops. Oh, whoopsies. God, can you believe? I mean, imagine the worldview. Imagine the worldview. And, like, this is where I, like, get it from the Israelis. Like, the Israelis hate Miss Rachel because she advocates for Palestinians who are being murdered, like they actually are, not just being lynched. I mean, they're being blown out of the sky by drones. So they hate her for that, which I don't understand, because that's actually happening. But like, imagine the mindset in 2026 that actually thinks white people are lynching black people. What? Like, imagine the worldview. Imagine the mindset. Imagine being the type of person that hears white people lynched a black man in Greenville, North Carolina, and you're just like, oh my God, that's so crazy. I can't believe it. I knew it. I knew everybody was racist. Like, it's like, what? What are you talking about? So I don't even believe that they think this. I think it's literally just they just hate white people. And a black guy hangs himself and they go, quick, let's cover this like it's white people who did it before we can, you know, get the obvious footage that it was clearly a suicide. You know, quick, cover this now before we're forced to admit that we knew the entire time he just killed himself. Let's pretend that groups of white Americans in 2026 in North Carolina are walking around lynching black people. Imagine the mindset that things like that. So what do we do? Let's go to Kevin in Ohio now on line two. Thanks for holding. Kevin, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Harrison?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
So I want to plug a couple of the products, and I have a reason. Methylene blue. So I used to have a patch of eczema on the side of my face, and I tried everything. I tried creams, all kind of stuff. And then I took the methylene blue for like a week, and it disappeared.
Really?
And if I quit taking it, it starts, I can feel it, you know, I can see it start coming back. I used to think it was from my from wearing glasses. It was down my temple, about 2.5 inches, and it was sore all the time. But I took the methylene blue, it goes away.
It clears it up, huh? And you're not doing it topically, you're just taking the methylene blue, like, in a drink.
Taking it with my sports drink is what I'm doing.
I've heard similar stories of that, and I say all the time, you really don't know what these products are going to do for you. You really don't. I can't make any medical claims here. I'm not a doctor, and you should talk to your doctor, because methylene blue is very powerful, and if you take any medicines, you should make sure there's not going to be any reaction, because it is very strong stuff. But callers all the time. It's like iodine. Iodine and methylene blue both have this property where you really don't know what it's going to do for you until you try it, and it could change your life. So that's great to hear, man. I'm glad we were able to help you with that.
Yeah, and also your guys' shirts, they're quality.
Oh, yeah.
They're quality T-shirts for the money. And you definitely get some looks and some conversations when you wear them. So, I suggest buy some shirts. I mean, you have to wear shirts anyway, right?
You got to buy shirts somewhere, don't you? You might as well buy really cool and really good quality shirts. And that is the thing. We could sell lower quality shirts, like, and, you know, it'd be fine. Like, we could do that, and people probably like them. But, like, no, we go above and beyond. Our shirts are incredible quality. They always have been. I still wear weekly shirts that I bought before I even worked here. So, like, these things last. They're very good. What was that? I'm having a stroke. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you get a shirt or anything, no matter what you buy at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you're getting a free bottle of Shilajit now until Sunday. So take advantage of that, whatever you order. You get a free, absolutely free bottle of the Shilajit gummies because we're so sure that you'll like it and buy more that we're giving your first taste free. You know, like a drug dealer. But the drugs are good and healthy and good for you. Well, I know you didn't just call in to plug, although I do appreciate it, Kevin, thealexjonesstore.com. What else is on your mind?
Yeah, so I was listening about Rabbi Dildo.
Yep.
And what he's trying to do is basically, like everybody's always done, the victor writes the history, and that's a mistake because you have to know the ugly to avoid the ugly, or you don't know it's ugly. And if all you ever do is win, then you are going to lose.
Yep.
And it's kind of like what Trump's trying to do to us with, oh, we're living in the golden age. We know we're not.
Yep.
We win the Iran war like 3 times a week. It's ridiculous, you know? So.
But I get exactly what you're saying. And by the way, the crew brought it up. The reason they were showing the information about the memorial earlier is pointing out that it's not even just a memorial for World War II soldiers. It also has World War I soldiers there. So Shmuley's just like, whatever, throw it all out. All of this should be torn down. You shouldn't be allowed to wear lederhosen because me, Rabbi Buttplug, says so. So, yeah. But you're right. You got to be honest above all else. And if you're on the side of truth, there's no problem with that. And even saying, hey, you know, here's what went wrong, or here's the problems that they had that we eventually went to war over. You got to be honest about that, which they never are. Very good point. Thank you for that call, Kevin. Let's go to Big D in New Hampshire. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah. How are you doing, Harrison?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Yeah, there's been a lot of incidents, you know, from Ruby Ridge to, you name it out there, Waco.
Yep.
And, of course, Alex was there helping to work on the church after Waco had occurred and everything with Bo Greitz. I'm sure you heard of Bo Greitz.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was there helping to rebuild the church at a time when all of America still thought they were crazy. They were crazy cult members who burned themselves. Alex Jones was out there literally confronting the FBI to their face, saying, "You did this. You're lying about them, and we won't stand down to it." So, I mean, just add it to the list. Add it to the list of things that Alex Jones solely stood up for, solely was the champion of, when nobody else would give the innocent people the time of day. Alex Jones fearlessly stood up against the machine and continues to. So, yeah, very good reminder.
Alex Jones took a lot of heat over nobody died at Sandy Hook, and nobody ever mentions Professor James Fetzer out of Florida, who had actually published the book. And he had charges filed against him as well. But he was the main perpetrator. And poor Alex. Alex got so much heat because he had him on his program.
Yeah.
And Alex took the brunt of everything going on, unjustly, I might add.
Yeah.
And that's what really, really got me really peed off.
Well,
as a matter of fact, I worked with a couple of guys there, and we got Bo Greitz up here as a presidential candidate in New Hampshire. So that's why I'm going by the name of Big D. Of course, I was on another radio station, the Chuck Hodder Network, and Chuck had his own health issues too. But poor Alex. Oh, man.
Well, you know,
all the pressure that Alex was under. No, it really. Oh, believe me, I was just as pissed as everyone out there. You know, unjustly.
Yeah. Well, look, I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate hearing that from you, because it, you know, it can be a little blackpilling, being like, because obviously I'm in it. I'm seeing it from behind the scenes. I'm watching the whole thing as it happens, and it's obvious to me how unjust it is. It's obvious to anybody actually paying attention how wrong it is. But, and the perception out there that Alex deserved this, or, well, if he didn't do that exactly, you know, he questioned it still, so he just still deserves something. Like, and it really is kind of white-pilling. It's kind of refreshing and nice, and it's, you know, kind of this sense of community. It's like, okay, there are people out there that understand. And, like, that alone is just like, they understand. They get it. They understand how bad this was. They feel it with us. Like, that to me is very valuable, and is very reaffirming that we're not alone out here, that other people watching, you know, understand just how bad it was and just what they put Alex Jones through. Appreciate the call, Big D. I didn't want to get to more, so we're not leaving people on hold, but I appreciate it, and we'll look out for that presidential candidacy there. Let's go to Noah in Oklahoma. Go ahead, Noah, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Thanks for taking my call, good sir. I just wanted to call in and kind of speak about the beef situation, I guess.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, like, you know, one way we can really kind of fight back is obviously buying more American beef. And I just want to put it out there in case people aren't aware. There's a great website called eatwild.com. And it can connect you with the local ranchers in your area, and you can just buy your beef directly from the ranchers.
Man, that is such a good point, because, yeah, we've been talking a lot about the way the American beef industry is being manipulated and controlled, and we really haven't put much effort into, you know, helping people understand how they can get around that and what they can do. And, yeah, sort of a cow share, that's one of the ways people do it, where you pay for a whole cow and pay somebody to raise it for you. There's lots of ways to do it. So I'm not familiar with this website, Eat Wild, but that's a good place to start. And wherever you are, you got to kind of ask around. You got to kind of get in with your neighbors. I mean, you can find, no matter where you are, you can find raw milk. You can find, you know, fresh beef. It's out there. So, yeah, that's a very good point, because really you just don't want to go somewhere that you don't know where the beef is coming from, or you're just getting, you know, mystery meat packaged ground beef from the grocery store. You should really be going for places that say where their cows were raised and are explicit about it. That's a very good point.
Yeah, absolutely. And they, like, a lot of these ranchers will, like, you can just do cuts and you don't have to buy a whole cow or anything. It's a lot more, like, easier on your wallet. And I mean, you know, if you can't shake the farmer's hand, you probably shouldn't buy it, right?
You know, it's you can't go wrong with that litmus test. And actually, no joke, my sister just texted us a couple days ago because she found a source for meat and it was cheaper than the grocery. Literally. Same cut, same type. We got it from a farmer who raised the cow. It was a dollar cheaper per pound than we could get it at the local grocery store here. So it's not even like you have to pay out the butt to get good meat. You can actually pay less than the grocery store. So very good point. Thank you for that call. No, I appreciate it. Let's go to Tim in Wisconsin now. Thank you for holding, Tim. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I had an idea about the Middle East war.
Okay.
And it's basically, you know, I'm wondering if you put yourself in the head of, you know, the Chinese guy, the whatever his name is.
Xi Jinping or something?
Yeah, the emperor or yeah. Whatever. And you put yourself in the head of Putin, right?
Uh-huh.
What would you do, you know, about this?
Yeah, what are you asking? I would do nothing. I would sit back and laugh because it's all going my way as far as I can tell. I don't know. What would you do?
Well, what I would do, and I would never do this, but if I was, like China had a one-child policy, you know, for years and years, right?
Yep.
And that was that mostly that was under the guy that's in charge right now, right? Right.
I'm not sure, but certainly under the same system, yeah.
Yeah, they have forced abortion and stuff like that, you know.
Yep.
So these people don't think like we do.
Right.
Right. They're heartless. Right.
In a lot of ways. Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, if I put myself in their head, what would I do? What I would do is I would put all kinds of nuclear bombs, nuclear missiles and stuff in Iran. And then when I launched on everybody that I didn't like, right, and wipe them out, then all the retaliation would come back on Iran.
You'd basically frame Iran for it.
Well, and that's what I would do if I was a evil genius, I would do something like that. And I can't help that's what they're doing. They're bringing in all kinds of weapons and stuff into Iran. I know through Russia I know they're doing that, they already have missiles that are more than capable of hitting the Jewish state and whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know, and if they were nuclear, well, there'd be retaliation, but it would all go back on Iran, and none of it would come back on me. If none of it would come back on China, nobody would come back. No retaliation would come back on Russia. It would all.
You know, you're right, and that is another sort of layer that we haven't talked about is that, you know, you can have a cyber attack. It could actually be from Iran, for all we know. You know, what are we supposed to say? Yeah, here's a headline. U.S. intelligence indicates China is preparing weapon shipments to Iran amid fragile ceasefire, sources say. And I believe Russia just said they would help them build a civilian nuclear site. I'm not sure if it was Russia or China. I think it was Russia that said that. So, I mean, all of these are proxy wars. And, you know, Russia is using this Iran war as a way to weaken America because America is using Ukraine to weaken Russia. I mean, it's all proxies all the way down, basically. But we've talked about Iran. They could commit a cyber attack and it could actually be them. We don't have any way of knowing because it could easily be Israel or America blaming Iran and attacking themselves in a false flag fashion. But it could also be Russia or China attacking us and blaming Iran so that they get the blowback. So, a lot of people incentivized to make the most out of this chaotic time. So I think that's smart to be strategizing like that. And I do the same thing. You just go, if I was an evil genius, what would I do? If I was Xi Jinping or if I was Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, what would my next step be? And, you know, it's usually not that hard to predict. Thank you so much for that call, Tim. We'll go to Joshua in San Diego here. We don't have much time, but you're on the air. Joshua, go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, first-time caller, long-time listener here. Alex was talking the other day about what to do next as a nation. And, dude, I'll tell you, I must have been channeling the spirit of 1776, man, because the day before I had a random thought and decided to write it down. Funny, because, like, since I took that note, shared it with some of my friends at church during our men's group, dude, I've been getting these, like, weird texts asking me about, like, what are your thoughts on the relationship with Israel and the United States? And it's like, and then my laptop, it's so funny. It's powered by NVIDIA. It has a window that will not go away. It keeps demanding me to change my microphone setting every time I log in. It's just really weird.
That is super weird. Anyway. Well, you know what? You may have been geofenced. I mean, that's exactly the type of text that you get if your church is geofenced and they, you know, detect your phone in one of these churches and that geofencing data has been sold to an Israeli propaganda firm. And that's exactly what they text you. They'll text you like, what do you think about the Israeli-American relationship? I can't remember. Was it a caller or somebody I was interviewing? I can't remember who I was talking to that was explaining exactly that. So if that happened after you were at church, your church is probably geotagged.
It's interesting. I consider myself a toddler in Christ, man. I was baptized in 2019 and have been going through the fire since. But I've got Jesus in front of me saying, follow me. And, dude, honestly, I read the Bible the first time as like a story, gained some wisdom, realized how much of a sinner I was, fell to my knees, dude, and I was met with just an unrecognizable grace from that moment on, dude. So I've had a heart change since and been trying to get in alignment more with my headspace and getting in the Word more and more, and I'm experiencing, you know, a genuine day-by-day relationship, not as much as like a cult or a religion. And so I want to tell you my thought just because – you know, I wrote this down and it was kind of cryptic when I wrote it down because
yeah, one minute.
Like, I might. Oh, okay. Long story short, I believe Israel has always been usable. God and Jesus both thought so. I was just curious, like, why should we like bless Israel, right? And I guess what it comes down to, based on you know what I thought was, you know, we should. We have to love our enemies, dude. And honestly, these Zionist guys are absolutely crazy, dude. So I think we need to surrender as a nation, come to Christ, and, you know, he says to love your enemies. And you know, I feel like we should bless them we should bless them by our nation coming to Christ and just, you know, making a change here. There's more to it, but I don't have time. So maybe I'll call in another time and try to get into this note because I feel like I was right over the target with everything. And that's ever since then, I've been getting just this crazy amount of, like you said, geofencing or whatever.
Well, no, you are exactly right. And I do hope you call in because I'd like to talk to you longer. We're just out of time. So I'm sorry. It's not my 1 minute I was giving you. It's just when the show ends. But you're exactly right. And that's what I've been trying to say, you know, this whole time about, like, you know, a lot of people just like want to crush their enemies. No, we're supposed to love our enemies. And if you look at the Middle East, obviously no amount of genocide one way or the other is going to solve things once and for all. Actually, forgiveness is the only way to move forward. So Christ is King. That's all there is to it.
Make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up
about it.
Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
Search your feelings within, Alex. I am your father.
No! No! This can't be true! You're an evil goblin of the dark side.
Yes, I am. And so are you, my son. The goblin blood runs strong in our family.
No, no, no. This can't be true. This must be a bad dream.
Alex, wake up. We're on the air.
I just had a horrible dream where Darth Vader told me I was his son.
Oh, what?
Yeah!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.